So are we talking about are we going to talk about the Phil Fish drama that happened yesterday?
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
I've been talking to Gathio Party about this, and I wanted them to cover it specifically with the headline, Beer Batters Fish Fishing for Criticism as Fish Blows yes. Blowfish Comments Out of the Water.
Yes. Yes.
I like it.
God, it's perfect.
It's a PR disaster on a huge scale. I can't believe Phil let this happen. It's very shellfish of him.
By the way, the only thing I saw about it is that people were making really dumb Phil puns on Twitter. That's the only thing I know about
basically.
It.
Phil Fish has almost put himself before the game.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. So it's like if you were playing it, you couldn't stop thinking about Phil Fish. And that's not what you want to think about when you're playing games and trying to have fun.
I have that problem normally, to be honest.
Yeah, Catsman,
no
I bet you can't stop.
Surprised.
I bet you can't stop moss debating when you're thinking about Miyamoto.
Miyamoto.
What? That would almost have been a bad comeback if you hadn't ruined it halfway through.
I know.
As it is, it's completely unacceptable.
I was in between saying Miyazaki and Miyamoto for some reason. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with me.
It's because you're racist and you think all Japanese people are the same.
That's racist.
Can't remember what my reboot character is supposed to be.
You have to be funny and intelligent, Jamban. That's the opposite of what you are.
And you have to be not monotone and boring.
I didn't know about any of this.
Basically,
should I just act confused?
We're rebooting Gentlemen Discussing Video, and you have to be the opposite of whatever you are now.
It's nearly 13, Catsman. You should fix your clock.
Why would my clock say nearly 13?
Because it can speak to you in words.
That's a fancy clock! Back in my day, we didn't have any fancy, smancy talkie clocks. We had to look at them with our eyeballs!
You know, in some places, there's bumps in the road for blind people.
Yeah.
Or not in the road.
I know. We have them here too. Oh, not on the sidewalk. We have them in the road.
There's no such thing as a sidewalk.
You can't have them in the road.
Yeah,
drive.
At zebra crossings, so they know how wide the zebra crossing is.
Zebras are only in Africa.
Yeah, wow. I don't know why zebras would need a crossing over here. And, to be honest, why blind people would, use them.
Because they ride zebras.
No, everyone's going to think I'm an idiot now.
You are an idiot, man.
You're my backup, Catsman!
Huh? Maybe they're rusty and they want to
be crossings and the pelican crossings.
We don't have pelicans in this country.
At the zoo.
Are you sure?
But they only exist at the zoo so they can fucking eat pigeons whole.
Yeah. I know, that's great. I love that.
I don't.
It's pretty retarded.
They're supposed
to eat fucking fish, goddammit. What the fuck is wrong with you, idiot?
Welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast made from 99% pure aubergines. I'm your host, Catsman, and it is my pleasure to announce this podcast has been rebooted in order to appeal to a younger and more attractive audience. I'll be honest with you, this podcast was old and stodgy and in need of a bit of modernization. For you old fans, we've got everything that you loved about the show and thrown it all away. But enough about whatever that was. We've got a truly acceptable lineup for you today, comprising the following persons. Annie Mitch.
Yeah.
Armando Davalos.
Hello.
Everdark.
Hi! What's wrong?
God damn it. Fish heads.
Hey guys.
Happy man.
Hi everybody.
Book of eyes.
Yo.
Hey.
Jamba, yeah. That was Van Man, not Happy Man.
I'm Happy Man.
No, that's Van Man.
You can't just say that you're Happy Man. That doesn't work.
I am Happy
it's
Man.
It's very hard.
No, I'm Happy Man.
I think that you should all go die, because I'm Happy Man.
Okay, class, settle down. Jamba, I want you to go sit on the naughty chair.
Oh, fuck the naughty chair.
So we start
the naughty chair.
Every podcast, as we often do, with the news. So, references to borrowing and lending games have been found in Steam's data files. The attentive folks at NeoGAF, who I'm sure make delightful conversation in person, have discovered something troubling in a beta update to Steam. According to GAF, the files that store the UI's text strings use phrases such as, "This shared game is unavailable, please try again later," or "Buy this game for your own library," and "Your games are currently in use by borrower. Playing now will send borrower a notice that it's time to quit." Now, as we all know, sharing games among friends is piracy, and we morally ought to stone them to death like those brown people do with women and gays. I'm outraged at Steam for condoning this, and I feel like I could almost write an angry letter to Gary Newell himself.
Don't you mean Newman?
Sorry, Newman. Go sit in the naughty chair, Bob.
Yeah.
Don't correct me.
Also,
this doesn't really matter because no one plays PC games anyway.
Very true, no one does.
PCs are for spreadsheets.
PCs are for spreadsheets.
Consoles are for games. And PCs are for names.
No
one wants
too
to share
expensive.
Games anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I don't think people should be allowed to share games.
Mm.
I think that you're all gay.
Go sit in the naughty chair, Jamba.
My naughty chair is full of semen, though.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, we had a little bit of fun before the podcast started, so...
Something's mine.
Yeah.
The
naughty chair for nothing.
I did fuck it.
Yeah.
Would you naughty fuck that chair? I'd fuck that chair.
I already did. It's the naughty chair for naughty boys like me.
Anyway,
I want to hear Moogle's opinion.
You already heard it.
Obviously, no. It's a good thing.
Mm.
So that's about it.
That's about it. Yes, I hope Gary Newell hurts himself while riding a bike. I don't know.
I hope they charge a lot of money for the privilege of doing so.
I would lend out my games if I could. If I could pay $30 to do it,
yep.
I think.
There you go. That's what you want to do.
But I don't think I would
do it for
free.
You pay for your licenses, man. It's not the way it works. You can't just not pay for your licenses.
A software isn't a software. It's a piece of license. It's like a little piece of cancer. A cancer
people
is a small piece of death.
People think they own things these days, and I think they need to get off their high horse.
Personally, we should be doing it like those Buddhists do, where they don't eat too much rice, but they don't eat too little rice either.
You mean they're Goldilocks?
I don't know who that is.
It's this, she was obsessed with things that were the middle size.
Wow, she sounds like a complete bitch.
Sounds like Happy Man.
Well, no, because she'll accept any man.
Oh, wait, I'm getting mixed up Jamba or Happy Man?
No, that's Happy Man.
Okay.
Oh, I'm still Happy Man? Okay.
You've always been.
Okay,
talk about wrestling for a bit, Happy Man, so that we know you're really Happy Man.
Randy Savage.
Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
I don't know who that
man.
Is.
Home Gang.
Oh, sorry, tattoos.
Happy Man doesn't even like Hulk Home Gang.
He doesn't.
I know. He doesn't like Hulk Hogan.
You're just trying to ruin his good name.
What do you mean he's? Don't you mean yours?
Your own good name.
Yeah. Happy Man's here.
Why the only
let's
thing
talk
you need
about
to
how
say
Jabba
here is
has
fucking
the...
nerds.
Fucking nerds,
this
yeah.
This is the worst idea we've ever had.
I can't do it.
I'm
The magic of editing will make it fine.
Yeah, the magic of editing is terrible. Gonna make
you can't edit. You can't polish a turd.
Yes, you can.
That last
make
podcast,
it really shiny.
This whole podcast is this. Polished turds. This whole podcast so
I'm
far.
Sorry.
We had 25 episodes of polished turds. Don't you tell me I can't polish a turd.
This is the turdiest of
how
polished
about we
turds.
Polish it enough that it disappears?
Shenmue 2 isn't very good.
He's got it. By gum, he's got it.
He's
what
got
do you
it.
Think?
He's
what do you think
it.
About Shenmue
by
Jove, 1?
I think he's got it.
It's a little bit better, but it's still kind of shit. But
what
I like
do you
Ryu
think
a
about,
lot.
Do you like trucks?
I don't know the answer to this question.
Do you like bikes?
I don't know the answer to this question, but
my
I'm Swedish, so I'll
Louis,
say yes.
He wrote a song, and one of the lyrics was just, do you like bikes? Do you like bikes? Over and over again.
Do you like Japanese games?
I don't think Japanese games should be allowed to exist. I
Very
think we should
so.
Bury them all. I think Japan needs another nuke.
I agree.
Yeah.
I hope
you
nobody skips to like 11 minutes into this podcast to hear me say that. And then
I hope
just
everybody
like,
does.
Yeah,
I hope you cut it so it begins with that.
Would you lend your games out to people? Because
yeah,
I know some
friends.
People who, if I lent them out to, I'd never get them back.
Well,
don't you
I
think
have.
You could? I mean, you still own the product, so I'm pretty sure that they'll let you take it back forcefully.
Ooh, the way it was going to work on the Xbox One is that you could, if you wanted to play it, they got a notification that they had to quit, and then they had to quit.
Yeah, that seems to. That actually sounds good.
So, Gary Newell ripped off the Xbox One.
Newman.
No, the Xbox One is shit because it only lets you share games with friends and or with friends who are marked as family members.
Yeah.
And only one other person besides that.
Yep.
That's going to lead to a lot of like Xbox One incest, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, we clearly don't know how it's going to work exactly, so it's pointless kind of speculating.
Well, we will
and
never
if you call
how
me out
work.
On not giving you information, I'm going to quit the podcast and you'll never see me again.
We never
Ever.
Know how it's going to work because it was removed.
By Moogle.
Moogle.
It wasn't removed.
Where are the bodies?
They're gonna. They said that they realized that fans wanted to have it both ways, the best of both worlds. So, pretty sure they're gonna keep it.
You say that. To be honest, it's kind of hard to see what the Xbox One is because they keep backpedaling and changing information so regularly.
It's a miserable little pile of secrets.
No, no, you've got it all wrong. It's them.
You can laugh now.
It's them listening to community feedback.
References aren't funny, Katsuman.
He's got it. You're replacing Happy Man from now on. You've got the job.
You are.
You're a
new
Happy
Man.
Just say fucking nerds more often and you'll be okay.
Fucking nerds.
Fucking nerds.
There you go. Perfect.
Genius.
If I mention Final Fantasy VIII, you have to go, no, no.
Like no.
That. There you go.
Now.
Keep going.
So
everybody.
When will you play Final Fantasy VIII again?
No.
This is retarded.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, this
monkey.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, no.
It really does, I'm afraid.
No, it doesn't.
Mitch, how about you be me? That'll work.
No,
that's a point.
No.
Everyone who
that's
isn't
so
from England gets confused over us.
I thought Everdark was already
true.
From... was already happy. Was already Catchman. Sorry.
People keep thinking I'm Mitch and Mitch is Moogle.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's ridiculous.
We really
play completely different types of games.
I never
and we
that
sound
problem.
Different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you play really good games and I play just shit.
Exactly.
You play like shit. Yeah, that's true.
The thing with me, though, is that I die every time I play, whereas Moogle doesn't, so.
That's because I play really easy games.
It's
that meant for babbies.
God damn it, you people. You're just furthering the stereotype that all British people are the same.
That pause wasn't long enough.
Of course.
So,
okay.
how much do you like tea and crumpets?
How about we move on in the podcast?
How about we don't?
Don't ignore me.
There is no podcast.
You
in
make
reality,
me seem like a bad guy.
I just spent the whole time writing that one monologue, and I've got nothing else. Sorry. No. Now, everybody, we know all of this for a fact. Games are getting more and more expensive. Although Microsoft and Sony confirmed that their own titles would retain the price point set by games this generation, EA have recently announced that their games will cost more. And who can blame them? Game development costs are getting higher as games are improving with each console generation.
No,
they took as an example last year's Call of Duty Whatever, which cost £55 in the UK, the price of a 5-door family car. Thoughts?
Well, I don't think it's good.
What kind of shit place is England that £1 is so expensive?
It's just more powerful than your Swedish Majigans.
Majigans.
The thing is, games aren't getting more costier to make. It's just that they use more money on the marketing, which is quite stupid in my opinion.
It's true.
Yeah, there's a building in my city painted with Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance. Right. It's like a really nice painting, honestly.
And it's
and
still
they
painted
the whole thing of it, and it's still there, yeah. It's like a permanent feature of the city now.
Yeah, there's a point when marketing gets quite useless and it won't work any further.
But yet people really still market Coke. That's the interesting thing. I know what Coke is. I don't need to be marketed it.
But new people always need to be introduced to the product. If there's a candy you don't buy very regularly, but you buy it sometimes, every time you see an advertisement, you're much more likely to buy it.
I think video games should have adverts within them to cut down on costs.
Yeah,
no, I agree.
Loading
screens are totally wasted. I mean, why put anything cool there when you could just put an advert? Or,
no, I mean like in-game advertisements.
Sorry, have the advert and then have the loading screen. That's the better way to do it.
Yeah, you have to click the advert so
then
you can get
the,
forward.
Then the advert's performance won't be affected by the game loading in the background.
And because PC games are easier to pirate and you pay less for them, you should have more ads.
You're a robot.
Moogle, you're a robot again.
Oh, fuck off again.
Oh, wait.
It's Robo Moogle.
You're better that time. Whatever. Moogle's
just be angry
robot.
And it fixes itself.
Yeah.
Let's see if it keeps happening.
On this podcast, Moogle's a robot.
If we take the example of Crazy Taxi, which has Pizza Hut adverts in them, did you really care about the Pizza Hut adverts?
Yeah.
Those didn't.
Nah.
Those
exactly
weren't there everywhere,
happening.
Though. But anyways,
no,
the point of advertisement
adverts in that way, where they help to increase the believability of the world, then there we go.
Yeah, it's
but
all about immersion. That's the important thing,
it helps
is
your
immersion.
It depends on where you live, too, because in Canada, you don't get any advertisements in the US or the UK. Nobody cares.
This is true.
There's still plenty of, you don't get them from those countries?
No, but you don't really get any advertisements at all because nobody markets towards Canada.
Oh.
It's just the generic in-game advertisements that are there in case, you know, your internet fails.
Well, if your internet fails, you shouldn't be able to play the game. Gosh, don't you get it?
Yeah.
Of course,
no,
all
I agree.
First world countries
have internet. Power of the cloud.
All first world countries should have internet 24/7 that never ever cuts out. If you're in somewhere that doesn't have the internet, it's literally a third world country. Literally. No, literally.
America took a similar very long time to standardize electricity and get Edison.
Jefferson.
Edison.
No. In Finland, it's actually a human right to have internet. So if you do not have internet, something is wrong with you in Finland.
My sister is getting really annoyed that internet was a human right. She's just like, yeah, but there's more important things like food and water.
But
I'm like, yeah, but once you've got all of those things, isn't internet important? She's like, no. That's nice.
But you can say the same thing about
porn on the internet and stuff. It's bad, I think.
Anyways,
I read a pamphlet given to me by a priest.
Tell us more about your sister.
She keeps eating crunchy blasts, and they're in the freezer taunting me, but I know I can't eat them.
Why not? Are you allergic? Because you're a cat?
No, it's just it'll start an argument that may last for days if I even touch a single crunchy blast.
Is she fat then?
No.
Oh. So, Catsman, when will your sister participate in GLA action?
Never.
Streaming at mom.
Wasn't she in the background in one podcast?
Maybe. Although, actually, that might have been my flatmate Andy from upstairs with the guitar. Probably was. One podcast, Andy and Maya burst in and they started singing a little guitar ditty. It was good.
Fantastic. Am I robotic again?
No.
No.
Yeah, you're good. Fine.
I've updated Mumble and we'll see how that goes.
So, I mean, £55 for a video game, okay? Bearing in mind, I have probably spent 55... Like, I haven't bought any games for my PS3 or my Wii in the last year, because it's the end of the console generation. Nothing really good's coming out. So, I've only been buying PC games, and I think I've spent £55 on a year's worth of PC games. Possibly less than that, no lie. And I've got tons. The most expensive purchase I made was Brave New World, and that was only £13 at launch.
How many people here had a Super Nintendo at the height of its popularity, out of curiosity?
I think I did. It's so far away in my childhood that I don't remember.
Doom on the SNES was £55. It was 50... It might have been 60 at launch. Several N64 games were £50 to £60. When they released.
Yeah, that was pricing back then. It was 50 or 60.
Yeah.
But that's because a part of that is the cost of the media itself, that cartridges were more expensive.
Cartridges were incredibly expensive.
And also, cartridges like NES cartridges and Super Nintendo cartridges would often have like custom hardware built into them. Like, super effects and stuff.
I guess what I'm trying to get across is this isn't really unprecedented that some games can be that expensive.
But they were expensive for a reason. They're expensive because they cost a lot to make.
Also, back then, you actually owned the game. You didn't just borrow the rights.
I guess you can expect games to sell a lot more now, but they also cost a lot more to make.
Yeah, like, I could be talking out of my ass here, but there was probably far less of an audience in the gaming industry, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. I just kind of think if they got rid of the marketing budget, and this comes back to Cliffy B's comment from a while ago, is that you can't have a AAA games budget with all of the marketing, with all of the whatever, but you can just get rid of marketing.
The hype machine sells games.
Do you really think that Cliffy B is actually smart, though?
Good games sell games.
No, they don't. If games had sold games, then Beyond Good and Evil would have a fucking sequel and Mother 3 would have been localized in the US.
Man.
And
neither
of those things happened.
It's a shit game.
If good games sold games, Dwarf Fortress would be the most paid for game ever.
Dwarf Fortress is
anyway, it's like Nintendo said that their games don't get traded in a week after because they're well produced and well made.
Dwarf Fortress is free.
It is, yes.
But they rely on donations
and stuff, yeah.
So
it is an interesting comment from Nintendo that the answer to the trading problem is to just make games that people don't want to trade in.
And by that, they mean make games that don't only last for 6 hours and have a shit online component.
Yeah, even there are some games that I don't trade in myself because I don't trade in games because I'm one of those people that just doesn't.
Yeah, me too. Keep all my games.
I can't say I know many people that have traded in Nintendo games, even the people that I know that do trade in games.
It could be
that there's like a bajillion of them.
The only game I've ever traded in was Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz. And that's because I went to the bonus mini games and I played the one where you're like the grasshopper. And I spent like 20 minutes waggling the Wii remote in every possible direction. And nothing fucking coincided with the action that was taking place on the screen. I was just like, no, I'm taking you back to the store. And I did.
Oh, Gatsman, don't blame the game. I know it's just because you are bad at it.
Don't hate the player, hate the
only
game.
Nintendo game I ever played
suck at
was
the game the game
Sonic
sucks.
Colors, and that's because I had a spare copy.
You had a spare copy?
Yeah, I got two for Christmas.
I don't even remember ever taking back games to a store. I still have my like old PS1 games like Suikoden 2 and Croc and Castlevania Symphony of the Night. They're all legit copies from my childhood.
They're all under my bed. Still, honestly.
PlayStation 1 is so much better than the N64.
Shut up, Rob.
I have both consoles, but I liked PS1 more.
It has so many better games.
We have moved up to DEFCON 1.
Don't start a fucking Genesis versus SNES console war in here.
It begins!
But it's not Genesis, it's PS1.
I'm
making Sony does well. Nintendo.
Are you playing with power? Super power? Ultra power? Pocket portable power.
Yeah, but Mega Drive, because I'm not going to use Genesis, does what Nintendo
Genesis.
Don't. FYI. Mega Drive in Europe, Mega Drive in Japan, it's a Mega Drive. Sorry.
It's not the Mega Drive, it's the Genesis.
Nope.
I always thought the Mega Drive was a much cooler name, let's be honest.
It is.
Genesis just sounds biblical.
Yeah,
Mega Drive sounds like...
You know they had to call it the Genesis because of some copyright issue in the US with Mega Drive.
It's the same as Starwing out in Europe.
Germany.
Lilac Wars.
What
a lame-ass name for a game.
I have to make a shameful admission.
Auntie Andros goes bonkers on Corneria.
I don't think I've ever played with a Sega console. Never.
They're pretty good.
I haven't either.
I enjoy the Genesis's Mega Drive's gamepad. I enjoy it.
What I quite like is there are some videos on YouTube of someone who's taken like games from different hardware and ported it to different consoles. So it's like, taken like Ocarina of Time and put it as what it would look like on the PlayStation. Quite amusing. Mm-hmm.
Does it look like shit?
At all on the PlayStation. It looks weird.
Well, on the PS2 you can add it, so...
Ocarina of Time wasn't possible on the PlayStation, let's be honest here.
It's interesting.
It is...
The draw distance of that game alone wouldn't have been possible.
True.
The number of polygons it pushes.
Can I stop being Happy Man already?
No.
Can we stop with this whole gimmick in general?
I think we stopped a while ago.
We've got enough material now, I think, to create an intro from it.
Okay,
material.
Yeah. Shamba
is the only one who has to keep his role up.
Okay.
Excuse me, I mean Happy Man.
Jamba, the thing is that Happy Man is more a state of mind than an actual person.
Happy Man is an ethos.
Fucking nerd, you would say that.
He simply penetrates the space. He does
no
not
one actually
exist.
Knows, but we've actually had multiple Happy Mans here.
I'm the third this is Cats like, Man.
This is like the fifth Happy Man
it's
right
a regular
now.
Thing, I'm sorry.
I'm glad I'm the only unique Everdark, think.
Yes, of course, Everdark number four.
But,
of course.
Did you just say something?
No, nothing. Nothing, my dear.
Go back to sleep.
Daddy's got a lot of work tomorrow. Daddy's got a lot of work tomorrow, my pretty.
Okay.
Anyway, we've been going for 45 minutes and we've only discussed two news items. So we may want to move
Don't
on.
Worry. Yeah. We have time.
PlayStation 1 sucks. Nintendo rules playing with
your ass.
If Spyro 1 can be on the PS1, or Spyro in general, I mean... That had, like, good draw distance and open worlds and shit.
Anyway,
It looks better than Mario.
And speaking Mark Cerny, who is a chief PS4 architect, says a PlayStation 4 will rekindle all sorts of the diversity that you found on the original PlayStation. And who could forget all those fantastic original titles like Final Fantasy VIII, Rugrats Studio Tour, and Final Fantasy VIII? Cerny, who previously made some shitty-ass marble game, said that concept-driven games such as Parappa the Rapper, Intelligent Kroob, and Devil Dice were wildly successful, and that while there was no such thing as indie games, hit titles like Crash Bandicoot, never heard of it, were developed by very small teams, in Crash's case, only 7 people. Cerny wants to break down barriers and get more ideas onto the PlayStation 4, where they will surely devalue true masterpieces such as Skyrim and BioShock Infinite.
He did not say that.
I think that sounded good until the end.
But it's a lie because the PlayStation did have indie games because of this thing called NetYaros that they released, which was fantastic.
NetYarazi.
It was a £500 dev kit, and it was amazing to get the games you could make from it. And they then released all of those games on a demo disc every single month on the official magazine, and they were great.
When Crash Bandicoot was shown at E3, people thought it was running on the supercomputer that was used to make it because of how good it looked.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
Mm. It's great.
Yeah, I read that thing about Crash Bandicoot. It's really interesting about how they used the PlayStation hardware.
Crash Bandicoot is a fun game. It was just overshadowed by the admittedly so far superior Mario 64 that it wasn't
Crash Bash
funny.
Is the best party game ever.
Crash Bash
really
is fun.
Though.
It was fucking fun.
It's not the best party game ever, though.
Okay, it's not the
Crash
best,
Bash is fun,
maybe, but it was really fun.
It isn't Sonic Shuffle.
Sonic Shuffle, exactly.
No,
it's not saying very much.
Party U is coming out soon. Mario Party without Mario.
Back when I was a kid, I used to have the multi-tap for PlayStation 1, so I used to play.
Oh, shit.
I played Crash Bash with four friends. Oh, it was fucking
it
was amazing.
With four players.
Crash Team Racing with four
game.
People is
that's
fantastic.
A good game.
I have my, I actually recovered my PlayStation and the multi-tap that I had for it from my mother's when I went there last week.
Nice.
Crash Team Racing and Crash Nitro Kart are definitely better than the Mario Karts.
I never played Nitro.
Especially Nitro Kart. Nitro Kart is
I like
never
them.
Played Nitro Kart, but Crash Team Racing I would probably rate higher than Mario Kart 64.
Yeah,
I would say it was better than Mario Kart 64. I'm not sure if I like it like more than like the DS one. I don't know.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I never said anything about the DS one. I was
and
only talking about
Double
Dash
and 64. So let's...
Strafing?
Double Dash.
Sonic Racing is fantastic.
Sonic Racing is fantastic, and I definitely like it more than the last Mario Kart that I played, which
I
admittedly
didn't play the
was
Mario Kart
Wii.
Or the 3DS one.
Mario Kart Wii is considered really good, actually, if you play with motorcycles.
I might have played it a little bit, but I don't think I really dedicated any time to it.
It has a pretty big fan support.
The
thing.
Problem
like,
with Mario Kart Wii is that they put, 12 races on the course? And so the whole thing just becomes a clusterfuck of, like, people going invulnerable and giant and blue shells flying everywhere and red shells flying everywhere.
Does that continue even on the online mode if you've only got a certain number of players?
Yes. The minimum for the online is 12. The max is 12. It just, like... It's
so you
just,
have 12.
The
so
game
it replaces everyone with AI regardless of what you want to
do. Just a giant clusterfuck. It's like they designed a bunch of tracks for, like, eight people and a gameplay balance for eight people. And they're like, what happens if we put 12 people on here? Oh, it fucks up the balance. Yeah, let's keep that. Lovely.
So one of the reasons I like the original Mario Kart so much is because it's a very good racer. Regardless of all the other stuff that goes around it, how much fun it is.
What about... Transformed has 10 players, so...
Transformed has items that are more balanced for 10 players. And
Transformed
is
amazing.
It really is a good game.
Yeah, and the items really aren't as game-breaking as they are in Mario Kart, because you don't have a first-place homing missile that you can dodge it sometimes, but let's be honest, you're not going to dodge it usually.
Yeah, I mean, the blue shell is replaced by the wasps, which
the wasps,
a skilled player can get around fairly easily.
Yeah.
Bees!
They've still got those kind of equalizer items. They've still got homing items for players that can't aim.
And you can dodge them, by the way.
You can dodge
and
them
not
by
that difficult
using
to dodge.
A well
I still have
boost.
No idea. Or I still
or
never managed
them.
At
Or you can shoot
them,
yes.
Or you can
shoot,
I
always
shoot any of these things.
And there's more defensive items as well. Like the glove is a fantastic defensive item.
The original placed a great emphasis on the boo, so the ghost, so that you couldn't get hit by items and stuff. But as the game has gone on and on, they added more items, so your chances of getting a ghost get less and less as time goes on.
And the boo's gone now, isn't it?
I think it might be by now, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
I haven't seen it in a Mario Kart game for a while.
It's not so much of a racer anymore as much as it is the party game, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but if you do want something that's half racer, half sort of arcadey kart game, the places you can go get less and less in terms of Mario Kart. You don't want to go to Mario Kart anymore, you want to go to the Sonic Racing or the Crash Team Racing or whatever.
Let's be honest though, Mario Kart was never balanced, ever.
No.
Maybe the first one.
No,
the first one was all right.
Any multiplayer game made by Nintendo that was balanced by accident.
Mario Kart 64 wasn't too bad. You had the blue shell, but it didn't explode, as an example.
You had the lightning bolt, which really fucked you over.
Yeah, but you only really got that when you were really far back, though.
Yeah, but if you timed it correctly, like on that, the Wario's stadium.
Yeah, there are some
no,
places
no,
where
no,
you
no,
can
that's
do
horrible.
That.
No, don't bring back the memories.
Yeah.
PTSD.
Please stop triggering
me. There are very
me.
Few places where that happens, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So, going back to the thing the guy said about the PS4, since we've gotten a little bit off topic.
Maybe a little.
I fired the conversation immediately just because Katzman said something bad about Crash Bandicoot.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's good that they're, you know, trying to sell a game console with games.
It's still an anti-consumer practice in general.
As long as it isn't shovelware.
Because, you know, making it so that you either have to buy this console for these games or that console for those games is like when they could just put them all on both systems very easily.
Yeah, but it's all really business, so consumer can't really do anything about it.
Yeah, they can. They can buy a PC.
Well, and then not get access to a different slew of games.
Yes, but then obviously if nobody buys a certain console, it dies.
Yeah, but
yes,
that's
because
not
that completely happened before.
Yeah,
hey,
it's
man,
called the
it
Sega.
To the fucking Dreamcast.
And it's going to
bought the Dreamcast.
Xbox.
Lots of people bought the Dreamcast.
Lots of people bought the Dreamcast before the PlayStation 2 was announced.
Exactly.
PlayStation 2 was announced, literally nobody bought one.
If something's going to happen to consoles, it's just that Microsoft will brute force Xbox to be the only console with all their money.
Yeah,
they'll just drive
that's
their
the danger,
competition
really.
Out of the game.
How can they... They can't do that.
Yeah,
unless they buy Sony.
They'll never get Nintendo. They will never.
Even if they sell Xbox at a loss, they will still keep doing it because they have the money to do it.
Nintendo will never
Sony
give
does
up,
too,
and
though.
They have a bottomless well of money that
they
can they
do
spend
at the moment.
On this shit.
The Wii and the DS have given them so much money that they don't care. It's Sony also funny because for a while, before they had that, they had a bottomless well of money from this thing called Pokemon, which was really popular, apparently.
What's
they
Pokemon?
Had all of the money from that beforehand, and they're still making all of the money from that as well.
And let's be honest here, Nintendo were able, like, the GameCube, that turned a neat profit, and that
it was
survived basically entirely on first-party games.
Well, the thing is that Nintendo usually doesn't sell consoles at a loss, so that helps them immensely compared to the competitors, which is why
they
the GameCube
sold at
is able
a loss
to stay
for a
alive.
Long time now. Even the Game Boy, I don't think, was sold at a loss when they first brought that out, and that was basically a calculator.
Well, I mean, if you look at the hardware of the Game Boy compared to the Game Gear, which was out at the same time, the Game Boy was just much less powerful.
It's interesting you say that, because technically, there are some aspects of the Game Boy that are far better in terms of what it can display. It's just it can't do it in color.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I had a friend who had a Game Gear. He was like, hey, Catsman, because he was calling me Catsman back then. He was like, hey, Catsman, you want to play Game Gear? And I was like, sure. And he was like, okay. And then he's like, I'll just go get 800D batteries.
Here is that light.
All of them into the Game Gear. He's like, this will be enough batteries to play for a whole 10 minutes. Like, seriously. I was just like, no.
The Game Gear is a nice little console. I have one that I got a while ago for collecting purposes, and it's really nice. There are some really good games on it. They're nice and in color. The music is okay, usually.
If by okay you mean ear rape, then it doesn't hold a candle to the Game Boy's awesome
sound chip. It doesn't really,
no.
Although you could do some interesting things with the music if you really tried. Some of the first-party Sega stuff was really good, as it always was, because first-party Sega stuff is fantastic for music. But it was a nice little console, but it didn't have the appeal that the Game Boy had, which is
games,
it was,
battery, price.
Yes, exactly. Also Tetris. Tetris.
I love that Tetris.
I still say that Tetris is actually perfect. It is the best game in
the
world.
The design
and it is
of it is flawless.
It's mathematically perfect. It is. You can't take anything away or add anything to it which will make it better.
I agree, Mitch.
It is.
I agree, definitely.
There's this like 30-minute interview with this guy who is one of the best Tetris players in the world and is now recently got his doctorate in physics.
Fantastic. This isn't the guy who played it while it was going on the credits Invisible, is it?
No, he plays classic Tetris, not Grandmaster Tetris.
Okay. Because there's that video which is so good where he's playing Invisible Tetris at the end of the game. All the blocks, you can't see them.
He went to Las Vegas in like 99 or something for the world championship or whatever.
Oh, lovely.
Anyway, so Sony's making more games, which is good. Okay.
No, Sony's making, the point is that they're meant to be making more games like Intelligent Cube. And I don't know if you've ever played Intelligent Cube, but it's the fucking shit.
Is it good?
I know.
It has the fucking greatest music, if I remember.
It rings a bell, but I don't think I played it.
A simple puzzle game with an incredibly grand soundtrack.
Yeah, it's the just amazing.
The problem I have with Sony is that they're never going to open up the hardware as much as they did with the PlayStation 1 now, because you've got all of this data protection stuff, you've got all of the piracy issue and whatever else that they had with the PS3.
And back in the PlayStation 1 days, they had to make it friendly for developers, didn't
they? This is the thing. Has anyone ever played VibRibbon?
VibRibbon!
I know about it.
You know why that works? That works because someone, the developer of it, basically found a workaround that lets you read DRM-protected files, essentially, in terms of... there's a nice write-up of it somewhere. But it works because they circumvented the anti-piracy measures on the PlayStation to use that functionality where it could read your music CDs and stuff to create the game. And they wouldn't let anyone do that now.
No.
They wouldn't go anywhere close to that. And yet, because of stuff like that, we have VibRibbon.
Yeah.
And the people that made Star Fox Argonaut, there's a great write-up on Eurogamer, if you've not read it, about how Star Fox was made. Apparently they have the patent on like the first graphics processing unit. Fantastic stuff. But the reason that they got hired by Nintendo was because they circumvented the anti-piracy measures on the Game Boy. And that was fantastic. That's how they got Nintendo's notice, by doing that and showing them. I was like, you realize we can do this. They went, fantastic, build us some stuff.
You better hire us or else we're going to fucking tell everybody.
Well, they'd also made lots of 3D space games and such before, so...
And then they went on to make a series of mediocre 3D platformers that nobody remembers.
It's interesting, like prop, business. It's interesting because the write-up also goes into that, how they mooted a 3D platforming Yoshi game with Nintendo before, this is way before Mario 64, and they mooted it and Nintendo shut them down and went, we're going to make our own game now. And then they poached three of their best employees and then left them be. And then, of course, Argonaut went and made Croc. Never worked
Croc
on Nintendo
is fucking
again.
Great game.
It's a good little game, Croc.
It has severe problems, but I mean, it's still fun. But the speedruns of it are great.
Yeah. Speedruns of most things are great, though.
No. There's things that are speedruns, and then there's speedruns.
I see.
You don't even know, man.
You don't know, man.
I used to speedrun. It's good fun.
What did you speedrun?
Metroid Zero Mission.
Oh. I can.
I never
casually...
really seriously did it, but I got it down to 42 minutes on an 90% run. The record is like 30 minutes, so I was getting down there.
I used to try to speedrun Spyro 2. Oh. I can still do it. Like, that game is ridiculous, though, because it has so many stupid things that you need to do.
Well, you know what's crazy? Super Metroid Spyro 2, all the games you could speedrun in the world.
What?
It's not even the best Spyro game.
I know, but it's the easiest one to speedrun.
A game doesn't have to be necessarily the best in the series to be entertaining to speedrun, though.
Yeah, it's completely different.
I know.
Super Metroid is good for speedrunning. Zero Mission is good for speedrunning. I'm not sure if I'd call those the best in the series, with Zero Mission, maybe.
Super Metroid.
Super Metroid is a very good game. Very good game. Zero Mission's probably better, though.
No.
If I'm honest.
It's easy as fuck, though.
Not if you turn hard mode on.
Yes, it is.
Super Metroid has a better atmosphere than
it does have a better
Zero Mission.
But Zero Mission is far better designed because it's got all of that lovely sequence breaking stuff built into the game.
Atmosphere, story, and aesthetic don't matter at all. It's all the gameplay. That's the only thing that matters.
Well, speedrunning, it's all in the gameplay.
Oh, look, it's
I know.
Hologram.
I'm Chris.
It is, isn't it?
I'm still going to make a game that is just a different game but with no graphics and see if he likes it.
With no graphics.
I'm gonna make everything gray and black and white.
No, if you remade like Mega Man, but there was no music and everything was gray boxes, then he would fucking love it. I swear.
Yeah, this was. Yeah.
Anyway, as we were saying before, I don't even remember.
Sony and they're trying to court indie developers again.
Yeah,
they are giving dev kits away.
Says,
that's good, and they really need to do that. Although, again, something like NetYahrzy would be fantastic because it was a £500 dev kit. It's not completely out of the realms of being able to afford it as a student and stuff like that. But they won't do that.
I saw one of those at a garage sale once, and I didn't buy it. It was $10, too.
I didn't know what it was at the time.
Would you have used it to make games is the question.
No, but it looks cool, and it's only $10.
I mean,
and it has no region lock.
Yeah, it has no region lock as well. That's the fantastic bit about it as well. But yeah, it was really interesting because loads of students bought them, and this was still back in the days when people could remember the sort of the scene that would create the intros scene and stuff like that, where people
demo
would just make
scene.
Intros to pirated games. Yeah, all of that stuff.
I love that lives, demo scene.
It still yeah. lives in Finland. There's
that's,
actually
that,
a
that's
yearly,
died essentially now. That doesn't exist anymore.
There's
really.
Actually a LAN event in Finland yearly where they present demos.
The demo scene is alive and kicking. I don't know what you're on about.
Is it?
People still make demos to this day, mostly on PC.
Mm. I kind of meant more on the... I guess at the time, consoles were home computers and they were interchangeable, really. Because you didn't really have them...
No, you just had access to their lower-level functions,
yeah,
so they
exactly.
seemed like a computer.
Yeah. And nowadays, you don't really have that at all. It's not nearly as widespread as it was. Oh, well.
You know,
never mind.
There
we have the internet
probably...
for that, so it all evens out. We've got the internet. We can access it anyway. Moot point.
There will probably be a PS4 emulator before there's a PS3 emulator.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
No
the slightest.
Shit. There won't be a PS3 emulator. There just
depends
won't be.
If it has games. Remember, remember that there's still not an Xbox emulator, because what are you going to play? Blinks the Time Traveler?
Cameo, man.
No, there's not an Xbox emulator, because it would be basically impossible, because it's more powerful than the GameCube. But it's still in the same architecture.
No, it isn't. Is it? Is it PowerPC?
No, I thought it
yes,
was. I thought
both
the
Power
Xbox
PC.
One was an Intel device.
PowerPC.
It was a PowerPC. Okay.
That's interesting, but it does use a basically a bog standard PC GPU for all
yeah,
the graphics,
that,
doesn't
all
it?
That good
okay.
stuff.
Well,
the Dreamcast is emulatable
do
now. I don't know if you're aware of that. I tried that recently. It's pretty.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, I've tried Dreamcast.
Tried Ikaruga. Ran flawlessly.
Yeah, you can.
Get me sorted.
You can use the same emulator for arcade games on the Naomi.
Yeah, of course it's Naomi. So. Yeah. Good stuff.
Next news item.
Let's move on.
No,
I don't really care about what Microsoft said. Let me see what I've written here.
Wow, hard-hitting journalism.
Something about Obama, sand people are ruining this country, bloody, bloody, blah.
Nah, nothing new. Nothing.
Oh, Microsoft.
If people are allowed to sell cars, do you think there would have been an auto bailout? What have I fucking written here? I was really getting into it.
What?
Channeling that reboot there, Kat. Channeling the reboot.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is Microsoft says shame on us for Xbox One messaging. As you know, they have now, by this podcast, U-turned on everything they said at their press conference. Yes.
What if they U-turned on the
U-turn? Except for the Kinect. And the Kinect is like the worst thing about
it. Aren't they selling a base unit without the Kinect now?
Oh, they are? Really?
No, I don't believe they are.
They're not.
They've still said it's mandatory to be connected for every single thing that you need to do with the system.
Horrible.
Let's not forget that Sony was only able to do what they did because they saw that they were going to make all the same mistakes that Microsoft
did. Sony
did
nothing. Sony basically said, we're not going to do a bad thing. They haven't done a good thing.
No, they
it's
were
worth
gonna,
pointing that out there.
They were going to make the iToy whatever mandatory,
they?
Though. They were going to package it with the system like the Xbox is doing with the Kinect, and it was going to be $100 extra. And
they
only decided the last minute to change that.
They
wasn't that literally
not to do a
the
bad
last
thing
minute?
Then. Still.
Yes, they.
I think
I'm
so,
pretty
yeah.
sure that's the reason their press conference was late, was because they were still figuring out what the fuck the price point was.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good thing they did what they did, so they kind of won the war between Xbox and PS4.
It's still just, you know.
You see, what they really should have is Sony goes first, and then Microsoft goes afterwards. That should be.
If
Microsoft
Sony
went afterwards, then it would have been the other way around.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, not quite. I don't think Microsoft would have been as smart as Sony. I really don't. But
Microsoft,
they would have been less stupid. They would have been
yeah,
less
if Sony
stupid.
Had been like, you need all this crap, and there's all this DRM, and there's a camera, Microsoft could have been like, brilliant. Now that's the standard, now that we've announced it. We've got
well, that
bah!
Was the
danger,
yeah.
wasn't
the
it? That was what everyone was saying would happen, was
yeah,
that
was
Sony
danger,
would simply just
right.
follow suit. They decided not to.
Well, you know what Merck Seb from GYP said about it. He said that Sony didn't really do much except stop the line of what is acceptable and
yeah.
what isn't from moving.
Yeah.
So
they kept the status quo, essentially.
Yeah, and which is not great at the moment at all.
No.
Well, I don't know about
at least
that.
They didn't
I mean,
make it worse.
They're banning their first parties from using online passes.
Oh, they
which
are.
Is
which
nice.
Is nice. Which is also
good.
Because they didn't do that last gen.
But then again, EA have already said they're getting rid of it in the first place, so it kind of was important EA... at that point. They would have like been the only ones doing it, because not many people are, really.
EA knows it. That's what happens with EA. Every time something they do gets like enough of a backlash, they'll stop doing it and move on to something else that
everyone
will hate.
They're trying to see what will stick, and they're trying different things until something does. Ubisoft did it with their DRM thing. They tried to see if that would stick. It didn't.
We're just throwing shit at the wall.
Exactly.
They're like, let's poke the lion until it bites our head off.
Yeah.
Let's poke the lion until it bites our head off.
Yeah.
The lion.
Well, technically, it's probably the best way of doing it. If you're going to try and find out what your customers will and won't tolerate.
Anyway, jailbreaking is a form of piracy that allows iPhone users to install whatever kind of software they want on their devices.
Ugh.
On Android, jailbreaking, or rooting as it is known, is responsible for rampant software piracy and millions of dollars of stolen money for Android developers. Deus Ex The Fall, the hotly anticipated follow-up to 2011's... To 2011's excellent Thief the Iron Age, fights back against lawless pirates. Users playing on jailbroken phones will not be able to fire their guns. As Deus Ex is a first-person shooter, this renders the majority of the game unplayable.
So what they're doing is punishing people for buying their game if they just rooted it and didn't pirate.
Well, yeah, basically, if you've got a jailbroken iPhone, which is the only thing that can make an iPhone even remotely usable as a computing device, then you can't play Deus Ex The Fall even if you bought it legally.
Yeah, that's a good move, I think.
You know,
yeah, me too.
I'm glad that there's already a court decision that said that jailbreaking is legal.
Do you realize that it's been patched now and that doesn't happen anymore?
Yeah.
What?
Again, just people doing dumb things.
So,
you can play it on jailbroken devices and still shoot. It's been patched.
Okay. I was going to say that they could. People that had jailbroken devices could potentially sue for that shit.
Like, I don't see the point. I really don't. Actually. It's like I homebrewed my Wii, and that wasn't for piracy.
It was for initially. Backups.
No,
it
wasn't initially for piracy. I used it for a good couple of years. I downloaded a homebrew channel, and I downloaded a load of homebrew things, and I used my Wii as, like, a media center.
Yeah, I've done that, of course.
Like, I put emulators on it and shit, and I was like, yeah, this is all cool. And Nintendo fucking spent years bringing out system updates that were optional, that removed all the anti-piracy shit. Literally years. They were all optional. I was like, what are you doing, Nintendo? Who do you think you're gonna draw in with this?
Yeah,
well, at least they were optional. You had the choice whether or not to do so. And the argument was, if you want to play any new games, then you're going to have to pony up and do the update.
Eventually, they started making it so that new games required you to do the update.
Yeah.
So I bought the Skyward Sword Collector's Edition to get the Wii Remote Plus.
And then you pirated it.
And then I couldn't launch it via the system menu because it said I needed an update. So I launched it through fucking the Gecko firmware, and it was fine. It ran absolutely fine. I was like, it didn't really need to update.
There was no functionality on it at all. It was basically for casual users or casual pirates, they would have to update to do it.
What happened was that people would just wait for the next pirated update.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's interesting because when you are in that position, people who are really hardcore pirates who know how to do it and are willing to wait will do so. And they won't buy the game, and they'll just pirate regardless. More casual users will be more likely to go, okay, well, if I'm going to have to wait months or whatever, I will go and get it now.
The only thing I pirated were virtual console games, because I don't believe in paying for things that are 20 years old that the developers are saying no money from. Plus, I did pay for about $100 worth of virtual console shit anyways.
Why?
Because I was 12.
It's interesting, like, you say that the 14. Developers don't get any money from it. Why would the developers have got money from it in the first place if it's, as an example, a Nintendo-published first-party game, in which case all of the money goes to Nintendo and the developers are paid a salary, where they wouldn't get paid anyway.
That's true.
I bought Solomon's Key on the Virtual Console, and I thought I was entitled to a bit of piracy after that game.
Solomon's Key's great. What are you talking about?
No, it isn't.
It's fantastic.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yeah.
I had Solomon's Key on the Game Boy. It's great fun.
What are we supposed to be talking about?
We were talking about Microsoft Deus Ex or something.
The Fall.
Oh, yeah,
Deus
that.
The Fall.
That.
Oh,
Deus Ex The Fall, of course. Deus yeah. The moral of the story the is everybody thought that Deus Ex The Fall was a brilliant idea, and it will go on to sell millions of copies and definitely eclipse its predecessors.
Mm-hmm.
It's the game that everybody demanded, and I'm glad that it exists. Anyway, yeah. Does anyone care about Street Fighter 4? I mean, it's a fighting game.
Yes, I want to talk about Evo a little bit.
Talk about Evo then, Mitch, because I don't know anything about fighting, and that really annoys Chris Wager.
I know a lot about fighting. Okay, so Evo was interesting this year. There were a lot of games which got more showing than they should, and a lot of games that didn't get enough showing that they should.
Talk about Killer Instinct getting booed, please.
Oh, yeah. Killer Instinct getting booed. Yeah, Killer Instinct got booed.
That's pretty much all you got to say.
Yeah. Now you came up on stage, and they're like, here's Killer Instinct, and they got booed off. And it fucking showed them. Showed them.
It's interesting. There was a post, and of course it was on 4chan, by someone who claims to have been sort of involved with these things, that Microsoft are trying to position Killer Instinct as their Smash Bros. Killer, and that they're trying to basically get franchise killers.
Yeah,
for
that
different things. So Rise is supposed to be their God of War franchise killer.
Oh, I thought it was their Call of Duty killer.
No.
I know, exactly, and Killer Instinct is supposed to be their Smash Bros. Competitor.
I'm pretty sure. Okay. That's kind of bullshit.
Do they even play their competitors' games? Or
yeah, seriously.
Hey, Mitch, Smash Bros. At Evo.
It's pretty fucking hype.
It was pretty hype. The final was great as well.
Ice Climbers in second, Jesus.
I know, Ice Climbers second. Peach was Peach third?
I can't remember
where Peach came. Peach came somewhere up there as well. It's like Ice Climbers and Peach, and then there was a Falco and a Fox. I was like, nah, get away. Who cares?
Peach, Jigglypuff third, Peach was fourth.
Oh, Jigglypuff, that was it, yes. Fantastic.
I wonder if they're going to make Rust good again in Super Smash Bros. 4.
Who knows? It's amusing either way. So Smash was there, and it was good, and it was fun.
There was a Hakan in Street Fighter.
Hakan in Losers Finals.
Infiltration.
Fantastic. Infiltration's Hakan is fantastic. Yeah. Hakan, by the way, is a joke character in Street Fighter.
He's not a joke.
You don't know. He kind of is a joke character. He's a very... based on his comedic value.
He's
not Gen. He's not Dan. But he's a joke character. But he was also a hard character.
Speaking
counter.
Of Gen, Gen was one? First. One.
Most technically demanding character in the game. Basically playing two characters at the same time. Fantastic. Love it.
He is kind of normal after you get past that shit.
If you can get past that shit.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to play at the level that Jam plays at with Gen. Because you're playing two characters at once.
What I just want to say is that it's a very... Like, the game is more balanced than people give it credit for. Because too many people are tier whores.
It's very. I say it's more difficult to tier whore in that game than in others, but I don't think it's a massive issue anyway.
Well, I mean, just people pay attention to them too much.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Well, you can do that, and I kind of think that if you're being paid by a sponsor to play video games at a high level, you kind of owe it to yourself to use who you think is the best.
Well, or who you think
and to owe it to your sponsor as well, considering they're paying you for the privilege. But
well, I mean. Yeah, there's no such thing as character loyalty, really, once you get to that point.
You say that. Daigo's kind of reneged on his whole
thing.
He plays
the way he wants to play.
There was a great interview after Evo where he basically said, I'm now going to be using Ryu purely because it allows me to express myself in the way I want to play the game.
Yeah. And that's why you're seventh, Daigo! Get wrecked!
No. Like, the year he played Yun, he got way lower. Remember that?
He still placed into into one of the finals, wasn't he?
I think.
Was he in semis?
I think he was in seventh. Oh, wait, okay. I don't know.
That would be semis, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he still did really well, as you'd expect, because he's a really good player of the game. But
yeah.
It's interesting. Evo turned out really well. I was quite happy with it this year.
Except for all the bad games.
Except the Marvel and Injustice.
I don't think Marvel was particularly bad.
I don't like Marvel.
Marvel is shit, dude.
I don't like playing Marvel, but I quite like watching it.
I find it
entertaining to watch.
But the strategy is so basic.
And also, Skullgirls only was there for an hour.
Skullgirls was there. I don't know too much about Skullgirls, but it isn't the type of game
I like
to play.
Skullgirls is a better Marvel versus Capcom game than Marvel versus Capcom 3.
Loads of people donated a bunch of money to charity on behalf of Skullgirls, and it was barely even there.
It was more that there was a donation war between a number of different games to be shown at Evo,
as a major event, and it was Skullgirls was in there, Smash Bros was in there, and there was a couple of others as well, I think. And Smash Bros won over Skullgirls, so it wasn't given pride of place in the main event.
Wasn't there a whole thing about like this? It was on Greenlight, this dive kick game or something.
Oh,
dive kick.
Dive kick. Dive kick was there for an hour.
Everyone,
as well.
Is pretty pissed about. And there was
pissed about it.
A Tumblr started by someone, presumably a dive kick fan, about people with anime profile pics on Twitter complaining about dive kick.
Why would people complain?
I don't know. It's like people are complaining about the humor in it or something.
And
what's dive kick?
It's sex.
Dive kick
is
basically a game made by the fighting game community, and there's a lot of in jokes to the fighting game community within it. And it's basically a riff on the fact that in one of the versions of Street Fighter 4, dive kick character. So a dive kick is where you jump into the air and then you dive down at an angle. Kicking is it was really really strong at one point, and there was very little that people knew how to fight against it. So it's kind of a riff on that.
So it's kind of like kaiju combat, only it caters to fighting game fans instead of furries.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's basically it's one hit kills in it. So the dive kick does a million billion billion damage, and it kills in one hit. And there's interesting little stuff you can do with it, and it's fun. It basically.
Now, well, I don't know. I mean, the stuff that gets
about
green
Earthbound on Virtual Console right now.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Earthbound is on Virtual Console right now.
How about I'm going to play Mother 2 instead? Because it's
because what?
Because it doesn't have all the shit taken out of it because of copyright reasons and shit.
But I don't even know what you're saying. What did Earthbound have taken out of it aside from like something that slightly resembled the Coke logo?
There were certain tracks that were replaced and shit, I think.
Wait,
I
in the Virtual Console release?
No, in the SNES release.
No, there were no tracks removed in the SNES release. You're talking about your
ass. Wasn't that Mother 3 that had stuff pulled?
No.
Mother 3 wasn't released in
Mother
the US.
Mother 3 wasn't released.
No. None of the games have had their music altered, to my knowledge. None of them.
Okay.
Earthbound had
a
lot of things changed in localization. A lot of cultural references just like gone. References to alcohol, gambling, and smoking removed. Stuff like that.
The Red Cross is about to be removed because of Canada. Because the Red Cross of Canada is really obsessed with copyright.
Yeah, I don't get why that is.
Because they're pieces of shit, and Canada has even worse copyright laws than the US.
I gave
hey,
a
fuck
fiver.
You, that's your fault.
I gave a fiver to the Red Cross once, and now they send me like packets of shit all the time. They're like, hey, we need more donation money. And they'll send me like a pen and some Christmas cards. And I'll be like, okay, thanks for the free Christmas cards. I gave
you
one off donation.
They send you free pens?
Of £5. I did not give you permission to spam me with shit, but thanks. I'm never donating to you again, and I'm going to have free Christmas cards every year until the day I die.
But, Cats, they send you free pens. I always have to, like, scavenge for pens on the floors of my classrooms and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's the natural pen ecosystem you've discovered there. Pens do not have an owner. They just simply flow in and out of people.
The pen fairies come and take them sometimes. We never know where they come from or where those pens end up going.
Yeah, I've been using the same pen for like 10 years now.
God damn it.
Of course, of course,
it took us 2 minutes to get from Earthbound to pens. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Moving on.
Speaking of Earthbound, how about using some Mother karaoke? Like, love is the power.
Yes.
Love is the glory.
Okay, if you haven't played Earthbound right now, right? If you haven't played Earthbound yet.
I played Mother 1, but not Mother 2.
The issue is that I've watched it streamed too many times, so it holds no
meaning. If you haven't played Earthbound yet, and you're listening to this podcast, then stop right now. Stop the podcast. Stop it, right? Go and play Earthbound.
But if they've stopped it, they can't hear what you're about to say.
Go
we'll
play
guys,
Earthbound.
I
Seriously,
think you're
no,
making a
Earthbound,
mistake here.
Earthbound is the only game I've ever played that blew my mind on like on a conceptual level. Like it's such a weird thing to be able to wrap your brain around. No excuses. Drop the podcast. Go play it.
But Katzman, I think you're making a little mistake here. You're expecting that someone's still listening to the podcast, but I think they dropped it in the first 11 minutes.
Go play it. Go play it.
Yeah, there's no one here anymore.
There's no one here.
No, the fan will be listening. The fan.
The fan. The one fan. Can stand us for more than 11 minutes.
Next news.
Steam Summer Sale happened. What are your damage reports?
I
didn't buy a thing! Why do movies have trading cards?
During the Steam Sale, I bought nothing this year.
I bought $25 worth of stuff. Or $20.
I bought DLC for Borderlands 2, which was a decent purchase.
Is that technically true?
Seriously?
I'm playing it with three of my friends.
DLC for Borderlands 2.
Yeah, I bought the season pass.
Seriously?
Could you
make a less informed purchase?
Do you even know Borderlands is like day one?
Catsman,
it'll put you to sleep, Everdark. It'll put you to sleep.
Also, I bought Sonic All-Stars Racing and I gifted one of them to MD. So that's a good deed from me. And now we have one more player to play it with.
Yeah, All-Stars Racing Transformed is a very fun and enjoyable game that has, I would say it has more depth than Mario Kart, but it's still a kart racer, so it's not really about skill.
So I guess you could say that Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Music kind of sucks because it all uses the exact same drum sounds and it just sounds kind of generic and it's quite disappointing.
I keep being tempted to actually put the original game music over it, so the whatever level I'm playing, put the original music for that game on top of it, or just put Mario Kart music on it.
I love the Sonic Racing, but I think that I still hate the goddamn boating sections. It's just painful to me.
I really like the boating sections because they handle like Hydro Thunder.
Mm. I always get wrecked in the goddamn boats.
I've heard the weird thing about the boating sections is that you go from like the car physics to the boat physics, and it's kind of jarring. Hard to make that transition.
I've never found the transition jarring, honestly, ever.
The transition I find quite difficult, but it's...
Not me.
The problem with boats is that some characters handle, complete shit on the water. Yes. One of the reasons that I use Danica Patrick...
Danica Patrick, who is basic...
I think, isn't Danica Patrick, like, the only reason that Sonic and All-Stars Racing got a sequel?
I think it's true. Thank you, Danica.
Also, Wreck-It
Ralph.
Thank you,
Basid Danica. Anyway, Danica handles really well on the water for some reason, but some characters just slide about and bounce up and down. Yep. And some of them, like, will bounce on the water until they're facing, like, a different direction. Yep. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Momentum is also fucked in the game just in general because you can be rammed by people and sometimes you'll just go flying off 60 odd feet for no reason.
You can be rammed. If you ram into the back of someone, you basically stop.
Yeah.
And they get
momentum
a boost.
Really doesn't work in it.
And my favorite is if you're in the air and you get hit with anything at all, you will stop and slowly fall down.
What is it? The Jet Set Radio course?
Yeah.
Well, there's a turn, and I'm always power sliding around the turn, and there's a jump that you go over that's on the corner while you're power sliding.
Yeah,
and
that's
I
painful.
Fucking always hit the wall and have to watch as my character slowly falls down. Mm-hmm. And by the time I've respawned, I'm in 10th place.
You're talking about that Golden Axe level, aren't you?
No, I'm on about Jet Set Radio.
Jet Set Radio. I don't know that problem.
Burning Rangers, number
There's
one,
also the fact
number
that you
one.
Really shouldn't be getting hit by anything as a plane because you can dodge everything as a plane.
So now, Burning Rangers is an awesome level.
Burning Rangers is fantastic.
I finally learned properly how to like drift around all the corners, and it's an amazing level.
Yeah, it's actually really great. I love the map.
But I'll never forget when Everdock spun me around 180 degrees.
You deserve it.
Did you head around so fast it went into orbit?
No, he didn't.
Oh. No, he didn't go to orbit. He just stopped completely.
Even worse.
It's the opposite of going to the orbit.
So
it's a good game, and I approve. The annoying thing for me was I wanted to buy copies of it during the Steam sale, but you can't buy the 4-pack, which was obviously the most cost-effective choice, if you've already bought the game.
I wanted to buy copies of it for Christmas presents and stuff. You can't buy the 4-pack if you've already bought the game, and if you've already bought both the game and the 4-pack, You can't buy anything anymore.
No, you can't. No,
you cannot buy. I cannot physically buy another copy of that game. Why? Why wow. limit the number of games that people can buy?
I can understand why they want to do it, because with the whole market economy thing, you could just buy loads of copies of Sonic Racing and then make a killing on it when it goes back up in price again. But it is very annoying from the consumer perspective to go, yeah, I'd like to buy this game because I want to play with all my friends, and obviously not everyone on GLA had it, and I wanted to help people get hold of it, and then it's like, no, you can't do that.
You can't sell games on the market. You can't sell like copies of games on the marketplace.
You can put them. Some of the 4-packs go into your inventory, though.
Yeah, things go into
inventory.
You can
trade
things,
them, though.
You
which
can trade
you then
them,
sell some money.
Yeah, so you can trade them on like trading sites. And
so it has. So it has money. It has monetary value.
Yeah, you're right.
Ultimately.
Anyway, the point is, you should be buying Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Yes.
It's a very enjoyable
game. Wait for it to go on cheap.
Yeah,
do buy it.
I've played it now for 17 hours. I'm almost to the end of it. I'm on the cusp of unlocking the Dreamcast one, which is the one I really want.
The really cool thing about that is if you have another person around, you can play two-player split screen of the campaign.
That's another thing. More PC games need to support local multiplayer. Mm. I remember how fucking pissed I was because I bought... because I played the Xbox version of Fable 3 with a friend previously, and he bought the PC version, and he was like, let's play Fable 3 on the PC co-op. And I was like, okay! And I plugged in my 360 controller, and I realized they'd taken co-op out of the PC version that they'd spent 6 months porting.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Having real life friends. What a weirdo.
Seriously,
cats.
Like,
so
but,
weird.
Yeah.
What kind of a person has
friends? With Sonic, you can basically plug in a second controller at any point in the game, and it's like, yeah, sure, two players now.
Yep. Or four in some game modes.
Yeah. Also, next news.
We're on the Steam thing. So the other thing
I got
bought...
a good story.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah, in the Steam sale, I got five things. Endless Space, which I liked, except it's too easy to win. Hotline Miami, which got my bloodlust up. XCOM, the turn-based one, which I failed at in normal, so I beat it in classic, and it pissed me off in a good way.
Failed it in normal, but you beat it in classic?
Yeah, I dug myself into a hole on normal, and I just restarted again on classic, and I beat that because I actually knew what the hell I was doing.
Okay, yeah. That helped.
I got FTL Faster Than Light because, I don't know, I had like some extra change. It was $1.24 or something.
Yeah, okay.
And then at the end of the sale, I had like $5 left and I needed to get something. So I went over to Kyle, Kyle from GYP. And he told me like, hey, go get Counter-Strike Global Offensive. And I got it and I kind of like it. Anyways, it's a total value of like 25, 30 bucks, and all of it was gotten through selling trading cards to idiots.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's talk trading cards, because now I'm going through all my games and idling in all of them to get the cards, which I'm then going to sell. And then when the Christmas sale comes around, I won't even have to spend any money because I have a ton of games sitting in my Steam that have cards for them.
Yeah, I have sold so many cards.
I'm not making that much money myself because every card I get is worth like 0.1 euros. So now I have 6 euros in my Steam account.
But the point is, you don't have to like do anything to get the cards.
But it's
you
free
can just,
money.
You can just sit and idle. So as far as I'm concerned, it's free games. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
$5 is still quite a bit on Steam.
Yeah, there is an issue. Like to get any meaningful amount of money, you have to sell a lot of cards. Except the marketplace has a limit of 200 things you can sell per year before you have to send a tax form to Valve because it's
really?
A legal requirement.
Yeah.
I hit 180 items, and they sent me a notice saying, if you want to sell more than 200, you have to send us a tax form.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's because that as well.
At that
not
point,
really
it becomes...
surprising, because you're technically making money from it, and that's taxable.
But it's not real money. It's only Steam bucks, so I don't get why that doesn't count as circumventing the law.
Technically, sell things through
it's
a
real
US
monetary
service.
Value.
Yeah, it's because Steam has to process it anyways.
Yeah.
So you're not just using Steam bucks because you're stealing money from people by selling them things they don't need.
So, speaking of Steam cards, I have all 10 of the Steam Summer cards, and I intend to sell them this Christmas, and we'll see how much of a profit I've made.
Well, we'll hold you to that, and in the Christmas podcast, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 4 months
I think I spent £1, maybe, to get all of them. Maybe a little bit less, because I think I already had some.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
They're only going to appreciate in value. Well, like Bitcoins
Like I said, they can't possibly go any lower. They can only go up.
Bitcoins are funny.
Bitcoins will one day be worth infinite money.
Bitcoins.
One Bitcoin will be worth £5.
They're like a libertarian fantasy. Yeah, it was. It was 20. It was $20 at one point per Bitcoin. Then it crashed immediately. And then it rose back up to like 10, and then it crashed again. Oh, Bitcoins.
Be interesting to see how all this stuff goes along.
Doesn't it rise and then it just automatically crashes because everyone sells them the minute they can turn a profit off of it?
Basically.
Anyway.
And also, like, they become more, like, harder and harder to get as time goes on, so it becomes less and less worth it, and et cetera.
The point is that Steam trading cards are sort of like Bitcoins, only you can only use them to buy video games.
No,
it's a
Bitcoins
bubble economy for nerds.
Bitcoins are used to buy, like, prostitutes, so what the fuck is the difference?
Bitcoins are only used to trade for real money or, like, buy prostitutes or drugs. Or hire hitmen, whatever.
So they are worth it than trading cards.
Game Freak teased a new game a while ago, and everyone got excited, and then they released it, and it turns out that it's Horse Racing Solitaire.
Fantastic.
What is it being released on?
Game Freak get a really bad rap.
3DS.
For just making...
It's their first independently published game as well.
Oh, really?
Is it?
So it's not...
Harmonite was Nintendo, wasn't it? Yeah.
I thought they were owned by Nintendo. Maybe not.
No.
They're a second party.
Yeah.
Which is weird at this point. You think Nintendo would absorb them.
No, second parties are owned by the company, so it's third party.
No, they're owned by the company, but they're not run by them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Bit weird.
Because they were A-Pink and they made Earthbound. I remember it well.
So basically they're like Rare and Microsoft could buy them and then
Rare was third party, I think.
Was third party, but they only made Nintendo games.
Game Freak
until
is not
Microsoft
owned by...
Until Microsoft.
Game Freak is not owned by anyone, but they're private. Oh, wait.
They haven't made that mistake this time because Retro Studios is a second party developer. They were bought.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah. So basically the idea of the game is... You play solitaire on the bottom screen, and playing solitaire well makes your horse go faster.
Definition of each phase. The game is split into two phases. The solitaire phase has you shuffling the cards to improve the bond with your horse to make it run faster. The control phase is when you navigate the course, collecting items and power-ups, and use your whip.
What?
So that
is Solitaire Horse Racer 3D.
In a nutshell.
And I can't be more... excited for it.
It sounds like a parody of a weird indie game. It
sounds like the people who made Henry Hatsworth.
That was a good idea
where you play a weird mini game on the bottom screen that affects something that goes on the top screen.
Harmonite was pretty good though if you played that, which is basically a rhythm platforming game, I guess.
Yeah, see, they just like combining genres.
It's like Bit Trip Runner, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I have Harmonite, and I enjoy it, and I don't just enjoy it for the Pokemon music that's in there, which is very, very small anyway. But yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed. Spent quite a few train journeys on it.
I think that Game Freak should actually try to make something more unique than Pokemon, but still Pokemon.
Wow.
Pokemon unique when it came out, but at this point, I
enjoy the semantic value of things that Bob says.
Six games, barely any changes.
I don't even like Pokemon, and even I know that it's a totally different game now.
I know,
to the game
yes, it's
it
a different. Yes, yes, but it's they still always play it safe.
Barely
every time.
Recognizable.
You're right. I fucked up.
You said something that I don't believe.
Go sit on the TC. Naughty chair.
Can we have a fucking nerd, please? No?
Blame nerds or something. Go
fucking nerds.
Fucking nerds.
Bob's voice kind of sounds like Cameron Rogers' voice. also known as instigative journalism.
He's the only person I've ever seen to be as monotone as I am.
how's his professional tweeting going? Do we know?
Yeah,
it's going pretty well.
He made a video on Instigate LP yesterday, just a video of his Twitter comments about the Phil thing.
Really?
Oh,
it was called
amazing
the name of the video was Phil Yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, the I just got written here in all capitals. Phil Fish cancels Fez 2 in response to minor criticism of Fez 2. When will his artistic genius end?
It wasn't a criticism of Fez 2, though, genius. Really, was it?
What?
It wasn't a criticism of Fez 2 that caused him to...
No, it was just...
It was just someone getting mad at him for not giving them information that they could use to get more
someone,
hits on their website.
Like, phoned him up, was like, what's your opinion? Well, phoned him up. Someone contacted him from Game Trailers, like, what's your opinion on Microsoft? And he was like, no comment. I don't want to... Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he was Phil Fish, so he was probably like, go fuck yourself. And then that guy got really mad at Phil Fish on a podcast, even though it wasn't a particularly big deal. And then Phil Fish announced that he was quitting developing Fez 2 and leaving the games industry forever, even though it wasn't a big deal. So now we have to wait 2 weeks for Phil Fish to open his Twitter account back up, start developing Fez 2 again, and start bitching at people again.
I don't think it'll even be 2 weeks. Like, you know... how much Christian Weston Chandler claimed to be quitting the internet and he'd be offline for like 8 hours and then he'd
I'm
be back on.
Phil Fish is our new Christian Weston Chandler. Is this what you're saying?
I hope
CWC
so.
CWC is much more likable than Phil Fish.
You're not wrong.
I prefer, I think Sonic U was a better comic than Fez was a game.
Yeah, I would rather play that. What was it, Christian Weston Chandler's Adult Chronicles than Fez?
I didn't even know there was a Fez 2 coming out.
I think that might be why he decided to make a shitstorm out of it, so that people were reminded of the fact that Fez finally got the sequel that everyone was asking for.
Yeah,
well, I hope that they expand the gameplay with more interesting gameplay dynamics, such as actual puzzles and platforming.
I think that people that immediately make a sequel to a game shows that they have no artistic value.
Yeah, Insomniac. Yeah, fuck Spyro the Dragon. I agree. That's not a good game at all.
No, it's not.
The question is, would you buy Fez 2? Would you buy it?
Came
out today, would you buy Fez 2?
That implies I would buy Fez 1.
Yeah, but that's why I asked. Would you buy Fez 2
I don't think anyone here would buy Fez 2.
Yeah.
I would only buy it if I could then review it and hate on it.
No, Katz, you just ask for a free review copy.
Yeah, but I've already insulted him over Twitter at least 4 times.
Did he even pay attention to you?
Not you.
I don't know. I try because for this podcast, the things I do for this podcast, I basically go on Twitter and act sassy to everyone in the hope that they'll act sassy back to me, and then I can bring it up on the podcast. But nobody has bitten so far. I've tweeted everyone. Aww. Like, I've tweeted Phil Fish. I've tweeted Cliffy B. I tweeted some Xbox guy. I forget what he's called.
Cliffy B is actually smarter than that, though.
No, he's not.
No,
only
he's not.
Only by a margin.
You
he's smarter than fish, right?
But he, yeah, well, that's but not saying like a lot. Fish is smarter than fish.
I'm smarter than fish.
I saw that
Who
coming.
Who isn't smarter?
I'm just a fish head, and I'm smarter than fish.
I want to know what that fish's name abbreviates to Fish the band that... is like Grateful Dead, but not Grateful Dead.
Moving on.
Oh, well, anyway, this all reminds me, like, I was talking with a PR buddy of mine. He's working in PR in some sort of game company. And he was talking to me, like, that there's only two types of PR people in the game industry. There's the stupid nerds that are thrust into having to do their own PR work, like Phil Fish or whatever, and they end up being completely socially retarded and keep saying things that fuck themselves over. And then there's the old PR guys from the movie industry or from other industries that go into the gaming industry expecting it's exactly the same, and you get things like the PR for EA or Ubisoft, and nobody has ever figured out that the gaming industry is actually different from every other industry.
But yeah. The thing I don't understand is that a lot of people are treating Phil Fish like a victim in this and saying, oh, you know, we as gamers, you know, we moan too much. We're a very rude group of people.
He's pretty vocally portraying himself as a victim. I mean, have you seen that guy's persecution complex? It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. But the problem I have with that is that there are so many indie developers out there that have an absolutely fantastic relationship with the community, like Cactus. Yeah. That guy's amazing.
That mostly relies on the fact that in the gaming industry, appealing to emotion actually works.
Yes.
Like, people think that they're pretty smart or whatever, but they can actually be really toyed around with if you play with their emotions.
The thing is that people like Jim Sterling are allowed to have a job, so, you know.
I find it interesting
because this is actually one of the very few times, not the fact that he's decided to quit afterwards, but Phil Fish was actually right in what he did in terms of just not replying to game trailers when they wanted essentially clickbait for their website about Microsoft's indie publishing strategy. He told them to go and wait for some sort of proper comment from Microsoft about what it's going to be, and they went and slagged him off, and that was absolutely fine from Phil Fish, and then went, no, I'm going to quit now. I'm gone. But until then, he was actually doing quite well for a while.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, provoking Phil Fish is like provoking a screaming little child.
It's like
they
poked the bear trying to get a response, and he didn't really want to be poked.
The thing is, though, the bear has already had a history of acting out and needs to sit in the naughty chair a lot. And the fact that he wasn't acting out at that particular time doesn't mean he doesn't deserve to be poked.
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
If I could poke Phil Fish, I would. And I will still try for you, dear listener. I will.
I'd poke him with the naughty chair full of cheese.
If I ever make a video game.
What?
Gum. Semen. Sperm. What? The white cheese.
Oh, right. I thought you said cheese. I was like,
you did
huh.
say cheese.
No, he said jizz.
Well, my pronunciation is shit, so
I'm sorry,
you have to deal with it.
I was just wondering what the deal with cheese was, but now I understand.
Well, it can be cheese, too.
It can be cheese and jizz.
It can be cheese.
I just want to point out that the guy who went off on this podcast slagging off Phil Fish and insulting him has this as their employment history.
The guy who insulted him is just like, I've listened to him before, actually. He's useless. He really is.
PR manager at, let's see, where is it? PR manager at Ubisoft from April 2001 to April 2002. Senior global PR manager at Vivendi/Sierra, April 2005, February 2007.
Oh yeah, that Vlaze thing. What the fuck is Vlaze? It has the shittiest name ever.
I'm going to go there right now.
You know, it's weird because usually how it works in this industry is people go from writing for these sites to PR, but this guy's gone from PR to writing for the sites.
And it's like
the fact that there is this thing and with the video game PR industry, I guess you'd call it, where you're kind of expected to give some sort of info or comment to these journalists, in inverted commas, I suppose. And Phil Fish decided not to in this instance, so they decided, we'll punish him for that.
That reminds me.
And they've got even more clickbait, because they can now go, look what we've made Phil Fish do. Isn't he silly?
It reminds me of how, the gaming journalism industry is kind of based around, people jerking each other off.
Pretty much.
I prefer people poking one another with sticks to people jerking one another off minorly.
Yeah,
majorly.
Yeah, seriously.
How bad is it?
It's
okay,
a broken
okay,
link.
One, okay, what?
Okay, one. Okay, sock. Okay, two. Okay.
Wow, that is the best website I've ever seen.
I wonder if they're getting hammered by traffic at the moment.
Probably. Anyway,
expect four people from some random podcast to go and. Okay.
It's time for a conundrum.
Oh no!
This week's conundrum is as follows. Hang on, let me get out my ancient scrolls. Oh, this is just a note from me, ma'am, telling me to water the plants in the greenhouse. Anyway,
yeah, I knew it.
The conundrum is, if you could take one gameplay mechanic and make it illegal and punishable by public stoning to implement, what would it be?
Regenerating health.
Unskippable cutscenes.
No.
Okay, I gotta think about this a lot.
Unskippable tutorials.
I gotta think
jump
about
scares.
It too.
Jump scares.
I don't know.
I think
the soul and heart of JRPGs, whatever that is.
No.
That's cruel.
Not matcha JRPGs.
I would like to
mean bad ones, by the way. I don't mean good ones.
How will I embrace my weeaboo if you ban JRPGs?
I dislike it when people lock off difficulties to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
That so is that's true. Really annoying. I dislike it when you can't turn off really long-winded tutorial sections when you don't have a save file or something because you've started the game again on a new PC or a new memory card or whatever. So I'd like to get rid of that. Kind of all that really annoying stuff that you understand why they put it in. It's like, okay, you need a tutorial to explain to people how to play the game. Okay, fine. I understand that. But do you really have to make people view it every time they start a new game? Is that really necessary?
No, yeah,
it's not probably not. Good.
I'd like to get rid of that one. That'll be me.
Paper Mario's 20-minute long tutorial or introduction, whatever.
Oblivion's 30-minute long dungeon crawl through those sewers.
Oh, yeah, tutorial.
Oh, God.
Oh, at least you can skip those usually. There's a way of skipping
kinda.
Yeah, there's a, way
there's
of
a great
it.
Mod that lets you start it like Morrowind, where you go into one
ship.
Of the ports. Yeah, it's really neat.
So.
Okay. I'm going to have to say, what like the less noticeable things that still annoy me, like when there's a text box in a game, and pushing the button doesn't cause it to skip to the end of whatever's in the box.
Mm. Yeah, that's annoying.
Really petty things like that, isn't it? We're not really talking about game mechanics as much as dumb shit that developers do sometimes. Like, things that they don't consider.
Well, here's something that they do every time. And like, this is what I get with the heart and soul of bad JRPG thing. Like, any time where the gameplay and story are just on the opposite sides of dumb walls.
You mean
oh, I see
like
what
in,
you mean. So the Phoenix Down thing and
BioShock Infinite.
Well, I mean, like
you're
BioShock
you
Infinite
can
does do
shoot
it.
Shoot up everyone in your character. The main character is still supposed to be like regretful of his violent past and stuff.
I mean, like pretty much most games, because most games suck.
On a lot of games, thing. Well, I mean, yeah, quite a few games do that, I guess.
Almost every game doesn't. Almost every game ever made.
PC but games like, where you can only change it to a set load of resolutions that might not be your resolution or aspect ratio.
Not activating borderless windowed mode.
Borderless window mode kills my performance.
Borderless window mode is fantastic when it's used properly because it doesn't do that all the time with me.
It doesn't do that on Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed because it's so easy to run.
Yep.
I picked jump scares because there are plenty of horror games which just utilize it and they just get more respect.
The thing about that is I don't mind jump scares in horror games, but a lot of horror games I've seen recently have big jump scares that happen, but after a while you realize that the jump scares can't harm you. And that you're actually never in any real, danger in the game.
Yeah. And I had that with... Yeah, okay. Continue.
That just totally kills it. What? Why? What were you playing?
I was playing Resident Evil 2. I did filler recently of Resident Evil 2 on the on GLA. And I was just pointing out, and there's a jump scare coming up now. And there's a jump scare. And it doesn't matter anything anymore. It's like, I'm prepared for it. It's like, is this going to happen again? I can't remember. Okay, yeah, there it is.
Jump scares for me kill all tension in anything, and they're just the cheapest common denominator of horror.
I think it depends how you build it beforehand. A properly done jump scare builds tension beforehand and then does the jump scare.
Yeah, I mean, the tension is worse than the jump scare itself.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't have the jump scare then at the end, it's fine.
It's
if you just build the tension.
A lot of building tension and then having no release, in my opinion, is even better.
I think that can work, but then you have to have at least one example where it does actually then end in a jump scare. Resident Evil is classically quite good at doing that.
Don't have it as a jump scare. Have it as an actual threat which you have to react to.
What's
your definition of a jump scare?
What
is the question
Cry of
then?
Fear did.
Something that pops up unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Because As an just example, here's one for you. Resident Evil 2. You go into a room. There are no enemies inside. There are a number of items inside which you can go and do, and there's a puzzle which you can solve. At the end, having done that puzzle and got that key and that stuff, a licker, which is an enemy which is quite threatening if you're not prepared for it and ready to deal with it, jumps through a window in the ceiling and then starts attacking you. Is that a jump scare or is that an actual threat?
That is a threat.
Okay, that's a jump scare.
It can
to me,
kill you.
Combined
kill
with
you.
A threat.
A jump scare to me is something that is just there to scare you.
Okay,
and
so it's
nothing
not
else.
That has
as well.
No actual gameplay like consequences,
okay.
I think.
I can agree with that, but then again, the stuff like AVP, one of the Alien vs. Predator games, does the intro marine level where you're basically just walking around in an industrial area. There are no aliens, but there's lots of stuff that looks like an alien when you get too close to it, and it does shit like venting steam and stuff when you get near it. And that kind of builds tension for when you first see your actual alien, which is quite well done because that's essentially exactly like it is in the film, which was kind of the point of the game in the first place. And that kind of works as a jump scare and a tension builder for me.
Horror games are boring.
You're boring,
you're
Bob.
The ones
horror games are my favorite theme for a game.
I'm not a big fan of horror games.
Well, the problem is that horror can only scare you so many times regardless of how unique it is.
You're objectively wrong.
There's people. If someone watches horror movies for their entire lives, they're not going to be scared by the next one, no matter what it does.
You think that, but
unless
maybe
it's really, really
you're
unique.
Just brazenly incorrect. There are always new ways of scaring people. It's just that a lot of game developers haven't discovered that. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
doesn't mean you can't surprise people. Do you think people are ever? Do you think society is going to run out of ideas?
Yes.
Speaking of
eventually.
Horror,
when they die,
you're crazy.
Catsman, speaking of horror, do you plan on streaming a Machine for Pigs?
I want
Amnesia
to stream
game?
That when it comes
I
out.
I
really
want
that.
To. I want
to
see
that.
Claim
originally,
it now, Cats. Claim it now.
No, I claimed
Click
it.
Him.
I literally claimed it the minute it was announced. No, it was meant to come out this summer, but now it's coming out this like September, and I'm
that's
disappointed
because that means it's going to be darker at night.
No, but because that's when I go back to uni and I won't have as much free time.
What a shame!
That kind of sucks.
Thing is, I
that
hate playing
me.
Horror games, but I love watching other people. Play
oh
them.
Yeah, yeah, I love watching people get scared by horror games. It's
I
fun.
Will say actually one thing that like is really useful for horror games that like is useful for almost no other genre in reality. Is randomness.
Yeah, very true. SCP Containment Breach, brilliant example of that. Mm-hmm. It's always random. You can never get like used to what's going to be where, so you're always surprised.
It's not like in Amnesia where the monsters always show up when you solve a puzzle.
Yeah, god damn it.
I like the way Amnesia paces its scares.
Yeah, I liked
honest.
Amnesia, but... I thought that was, you know, one aspect of it that was just kind of
It had, like, problems with its level design, I guess.
I still think the main problem with Amnesia is that the game throws all of its scariest stuff at you about two-thirds of the way through.
Like the water thing?
That is
no,
a pacing issue, isn't
the
it?
Scariest part of the game by it like it starts not that scary and it ramps up the scariness and then you get to the place with all the cells like the dungeon or whatever that's like pitch black. It's got Gatherer walking around and there's loads of good like really scary scares in there and then it just like stops being scary like at all, like none of the stuff after that is even near, is even close to what came before. It's very disappointing.
Yeah,
they're
parts of it
gatherers.
Afterwards were unsettling, but not, you know,
and
outright terrifying.
Penumbra does the exact same bleeding thing.
Yeah,
there's
it
a
does.
Place
made by
in,
the same people.
Well, yeah, but there's a Penumbra is quite scary with like the monster until there's a part of the game where you basically have to be trapped in a room with the monster for a prolonged period of time. And if you're going for a monster-based horror, that's the worst thing you can do, is to flood the player with monster, because it makes them get used to it. And the reason Amnesia's monster is so effective is because it's often dark. You often can't see it very well. You get punished by the game with insanity for looking at it. So you have to look away from it. And so it becomes this sort of, you know, unknown entity.
Too bad PewDiePie's title profile picture ruins that completely.
And the American
let's not talk about that, Bob, that has Daniel
and the monster on it. A ridiculous version of both of them. Oh, God.
Can I see that? I want to see that.
Just Google, like, Amnesia game cover. And, like, the European one is just, like, a rose in a puddle of water or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this before. It's hilarious, yeah. And, oh, my God, like, the bad, like, the fucked up art version of that monster.
Oh, it looks like
a
dog.
Basically the eco of this generation.
We could do a whole topic on just completely ruined American box art.
that's ruined. It's not American. Oh yeah, it is American. But
there you go.
It's because
you ruin
CSQ,
everything,
man.
Jamba. You and your society.
You know what? Japan ruins
them
just as bad.
Sit on the naughty chair.
Japan ruins your fault. Them. I cannot believe what I'm hearing.
I'm not like. You can find similar, like, they're different tropes, but they're still the same tropes, and they're still just as annoying.
Have you seen the Japanese Uncharted box art?
I was just about to say that.
The Japanese Spyro and Ratchet box art as well.
Yes, I've seen Spyro too. Like,
kawaii as shit. Anyway.
Yeah, they are.
Moving it along now, very swiftly.
Are we done with the news?
Wait. Commenters, listeners, what do you think is... What would you take out of a thing in the gameplay? Post in the comments! Okay.
Were it not for the fact that Mitch sounds exactly to the untrained ear like cats, I would have told cats to sort that out quickly.
sort what out, cats.
I think sort Mitch is a out. Copy of Catsman.
Alright, Mitch.
Alright.
You watch what you're doing, Mitch. You watch it.
Mitch, you gotta sing us the song from Mutter, the same one Catsman sang.
I don't know the words.
You will.
Uncharted 2's Japanese box is really bad.
Anyway.
And it's now we have, for the Video Game Book Club, a special and the tip-top video picks as well. Okay.
It's the Happy Man number 7.
So, Jamba,
I just got home from work.
You can stop Hello. Being Happy Man now, Jamba.
I stopped
fine.
Being Happy Man like an hour ago.
I couldn't tell.
No,
difference at all.
They look how bad at them personally.
Anyway, so we're gonna have the top video picks and the Video Game Book Club now.
Did you guys talk about anything interesting?
No.
We had a lot of fun attempting to reboot the podcast, but it only lasted for about 5 minutes.
Fun,
not
so
fun.
What,
he
says.
What was the gist of the reboot? What did you try to do? Comedy.
I was trying to be really energetic, but it did not work very well.
I tried to impersonate you for an hour.
Yeah, we tried to make Jamba Happy Man, and it kind of worked, but
not
really.
He was close. He did that really well, I thought.
Yeah, he had a really
That's
good
easy.
Few moments with like. The
well, he understood that Happy Man is a state of mind and not a. I don't know.
Happy Man is an idea.
Yeah.
An ideal to strive towards.
I needed to talk about Joe Noid. Fuck. I didn't do that.
Yeah, you forgot about that. See? Nobody can replace me. I'm the legend. Everybody knows I'm the legend.
See, these are the things that I forget about Happy Man. I never remember these sayings that he has.
I would like to hear the results of the tippity top video picks.
Oh yeah, okay. So for the month of June, remember me. Remember Me got 76,858 copies.
Ooh.
Last of Us, 1,225,761 copies. Animal Crossing New Leaf, 641,000 copies. So,
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
So guess what?
Nice.
Everyone
Mike,
lost.
Mike, yeah, everyone we lost except Mike.
He got 3
points.
Wow.
Just like in real life.
Yeah. You know, I think, yeah, people just don't buy a Nintendo games first week. They're kind of slow burners.
I guess they are slow burners, really, aren't they?
We've been played for fools.
The thing is, I'm new to this, so fuck all of you. I hate you all.
Me too.
You should know better. You should all know better.
Well, maybe you should copy what I say, Jamba.
At least Freaky's not here.
I did copy what you say.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't.
Maybe I should kill you so you can't.
What come about over the here, Jamba.
The month after that?
I'll fucking deck you, mate.
I'm getting to it as soon as these two idiots stop
Jamba,
fighting. Okay.
Spin your head.
Yeah, it's spin. He can't spin your deck head me. As fast as it can go, and hold then it'll go out of orbit.
He can't deck me. He doesn't have any plywood.
Okay,
that's
so
where you're wrong, boyo.
God help me.
For anyway. July.
Keep going.
MGS Legacy Collection, 69,000 copies. 69, dude. SMT4, 187,000 copies. And Dynasty Warriors, 212. So they actually sold most, Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors.
That was kind of unexpected. 187,000, you sure that isn't...
Are we counting Japanese sales?
That doesn't count
as
Japanese.
Dynasty Warriors.
Okay, that makes sense then.
You sure that SMT sale counts Japanese? Like, why? Why? It's
this
the third largest series.
Games are slow burners.
Yes, globally in first week. All of these. So, as it stands now, Mike is in the lead with 3 points. Moogle, Catsman, Jamba, me, and Juju are in the second place with 2 points.
Fantastic.
Anime Chibanas, Everdark, Tacoman, Followed Man, 1 point. Jilbor Mao, 0 points.
Oh. Good job, Mao. You even fail at this.
I'll gloat to him about that. I really
I hate
will.
Whoever I copied with my answer. Screw you.
I think we should. We all should maybe. Like, you all should send your picks to me through the Mumble chat.
Yeah, secretly. That's a good idea.
And then we'll talk about what we picked, so nobody can copy each other.
Damn.
We'll
it.
Do
okay.
that next time.
Aha.
Oh yeah, we'll
do
that.
We don't have anything
well,
to
no,
do
we
it do, now. Yeah, today.
No, we will do that now.
Oh, okay.
All right.
For August, so many good games came out. No, well, good is subjective, but so many big games come out that we're going to have 5 games, and you're going to pick the 3 that you think will sell the most. So
I'm
not going to list
say
all 5 still.
Happy Man, that might be 4, because I know one of those is by David Cage, so that'd be 4 games in one movie.
Ooh.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, you went there.
He made what's it called? Fahrenheit / whatever the other name is.
Indigo Prophecy.
Aha, I have educated opinions that I've sent to Happy Man.
I have educated feet.
He's putting
you...
those educated opinions to good use.
And you
please
people
no.
have
is
nothing.
It, there's not going to be any tonight, is there, Happy?
It's tomorrow.
No, I'm heading out of town for the night, so it'll be tomorrow.
How well did Lollipop Chainsaw sell?
That game
not going to tell
did
you.
Not
I
sell well, I think.
It sold all right. Better than some of the other games he's made.
How well did Lost Planet 2 sell? Lots, right?
Yeah.
But
no one cares about Lost Planet 2.
I don't think anyone cares about Lost Planet anymore.
No, I think you're probably right.
I don't think anyone cares about Saints Row 4 anymore.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I believe it can still be a
Saints Row 3
fun co-op
really
game.
Well.
Yes.
It's still a
thing
popular
is,
series.
Saints Row 3 was a very fun co-op game.
Keep in
so
mind.
Really well.
Keep in mind, these sales, we're counting first week sales. Those are the only sales we're counting here.
Is everyone done with their picks?
I'm still doing it.
I'm still writing down.
I'm wondering about Pikmin 3 because that, like, probably everyone who owns a Wii U is going to buy it, but, you know, the problem is
who even owns
everyone
a
who owns a Wii U.
Everyone who owns a Wii U is an interesting proposition you've
all
got there.
All 6 people who own a Wii U.
Okay, Splinter Cell Conviction. How well did that fucking thing sell? 486,000 copies were sold in April 2010, making it the best-selling game for that month. So, that's something to...
Yeah, but Conviction was big in the gaming press, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, but I'm saying it didn't even sell that well. And
whereas Blacklist was like, yeah, it's called Blacklist because it's a list of black people you have to kill.
Yeah. Why are so many games racist and sexist?
Because they're
better
filth.
Question is, why
because,
filth!
Because Tumblr thinks that Mozart was actually black.
What?
Yeah, is that real or are you just
bruising
us?
You think I would do that? You think I would? I would take you for
you
a
would.
Ride.
Yes.
We should definitely do this way in the future because I'm actually getting a lot of varied answers
would
now.
Be.
Than normal.
Here is a picture of Black Mozart or Black Zart. As I've named him.
I wanted to portray Mozart
fucks.
The way he was meant to be portrayed. As a strong woman of color.
Wait, he's a girl, right?
Oh god, this is tough for me.
Color is dead or Pikmin 3?
Are we going to... What are we doing after this?
Which one of those is going to sell the least? I'm guessing, Bob?
Basically. No,
we're picking the highest... We're picking the highest seller.
Yeah, mine is from most to least. I think that's how you should probably do it.
Yeah. No, you don't need to write out all of them, just the three biggest sellers.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, well.
But, yeah, I just don't know if it'll be Killer is Dead or Pikmin 3 is my
vote. Flip a coin.
For a certain place that I won't be telling. Flip a coin, my ass. I'll flip my ass
just
first.
Speak, man.
Well, Bob, I think
flip your own app. If you land on the left butt cheek, it's a Pikmin 3. If you land on the right butt cheek,
I'll flip your ass around.
What if it lands
so
in the
hard.
Middle? It lands in the crack.
Okay, I'm just gonna do some little research here.
Killer is dead. It's gonna sell because Suda has Suda games are usually
Follow your heart. None of us does research. Kidding me?
I did no research.
Catsman said he did a research, so fuck him.
I didn't do any research.
Jamba's cheating. Research, I think his guests should be void.
I take it you're going to wait for the release of Pikmin 3 in the US, which is in August, before we do this.
Yeah,
it's
going to be 3 weeks
from
now.
Take some time to get all the data.
Yeah.
I got Saints Row Splinter Cell Pikmin.
Same.
I picked the same thing, actually.
Oh, God. I Splinter Cell on top, and then Saints Row, and then Pikmin.
I put Killer is Dead instead of Pikmin.
I'm not seeing nearly
as much hype for Saints Row 4 as it is free. Like people, I get the feeling people don't give a fuck about it, but I think it'll still put out some decent sales.
People didn't really like
game
3
will
that
sell
much.
A million copies. All of them do.
Exactly, and you know what? Fucking every single time there was a sandbox game to vote for during the Steam sale, it won. There was not a time where it didn't. Unless there were two there, in
people
which case only one of them won.
People just cream themselves over sandbox games when they're an intrinsically bad genre.
Yes, they are.
Intrinsically bad.
That, like, I think this genre of games would be good if it was an open world game. And I hear that all
open
the time.
World and sandbox.
Batman, Mirror's Edge.
Furious. Yes, everyone says Mirror's Edge would be good if it was an open world. I'm like, no!
They'd be lost! Open world and sandbox are two very, very, very different things.
Yeah. I don't care.
But my point is, some games work that way, but that you always lose like some gameplay and level design fidelity. You know, I mean, people get annoyed that like Half-Life is a corridor shooter, but the reason that it's can be so interesting and varied is because it's a tightly controlled experience.
But Cataclysm is great. It's fucking great.
Just for that, Bob, I would almost local mute you, but I won't because this is a podcast.
Half a man still recording. You can't do this.
Anyway,
you?
So there's everyone said their picks.
Oh, I would say I didn't say them yet.
Go on then.
Saints Row 4, Splinter Cell, Lost Planet 3.
Really,
brave choice. Brave choice, though.
I don't know. I'm just grabbing straws here. I have no idea.
You don't have to see your picks. I just thought we would talk about them a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, Six Golden Coins is a Mario
fucking
game
badass. That's what
for
it is.
The Game Boy, not developed by the normal Mario people, and they wanted to do something a little bit different with it. And so, instead of Bowser, you've got Wario, and like there's pigs that shoot. Shoot
cannons out the nose,
and
we should mention that this is actually the debut game of Wario. This is the first game he was ever in,
and in it, he's like he doesn't look properly like Wario would go on to look. He looks really weird.
He looks kind of deranged,
and when
in a way
he looks crazy and deranged, and when you beat him, he turns into like a little gremlin thing and scampers off.
Well, it's a little Wario,
isn't it?
Yeah, he's mini Wario. It's like how he ate a super mushroom and became normal Wario, but now he beat him and he is.
More importantly, can we talk about the fat man running music? Please.
stop triggering me.
We're triggering Everdark with this music. One of the levels, and I think it's the level inside the pumpkin.
There's quite
like
a few
the Halloween themed level, and the music is just.
Stop.
You're triggering my flat. Stop.
So it's copyrighted music put into a game.
It is in that style. It is in that exactly.
Did you know that that song was on the bassoon?
Fantastic. You're a bassoon.
The bassoon is a great instrument.
Channeling one another today.
You guys are so funny.
The thing that I remember most about Mario Land 2 is how the entire game is ridiculously easy for a Mario game, except the last level, which is way harder than it has any right to be considering the rest of the game exists.
I think you just got used to its easiness.
Gatsman, you're just bad. I'm sorry.
I am very bad at Mario games, but the point is, why couldn't they make the difficulty more consistent with the rest of the game?
Well, because you go, it's like a Mega Man game. You can go wherever you want, so you can't really have huge difficulty spikes. By that point in the game, you have to have learned all the different places and got your skill up.
Well, I mean, they could have made it so that, each area was... There is a sequence to the areas where they do increase in difficulty, but if you're really good at the game, you can do the later areas earlier on, I guess. I mean, they could have done that, but they didn't.
Well, there's six worlds, and they all kind of scale in difficulty in this, so they start off easy and end hard in the end. So you can kind of go wherever you want.
Well, yeah, I know, but I don't know. I don't remember them being that much, any one of them. I mean, I know some of them are easier than the others, but I don't remember there being like a huge disparity, except maybe between the space world and the rest of them.
Yeah, the space world was slightly harder.
Speaking of which, so this was actually my first Mario game, so I'm a little bit partial.
My first was
to
Mario
it.
Land 1, but I still played this pretty early in my life.
So, the second area of the space zone where you have to navigate around all the stars.
With the awesome music.
It has the best music in the game.
The music's amazing.
Does.
So, when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I just could not get through that part. It was impossible for me. And I don't think I ever finished the game, although I might have gotten a friend of mine who is much better at games than I was at that point to do it for me. But, you know, like now about 10 years or so later, I went through the whole second area of the space zone without hitting a single star, and it's just this weird feeling.
That's funny, because I... Unlike you, I think my skills have gotten worse since I've grown up. I was good player when I was a kid, but now I suck ass at everything.
No, when you're a kid, you're not really good at the game, but you just have a lot more patience. Yeah. Which is weird, because kids don't have patience at all, but with video games, it's just like, well, I have this game, I need to beat it. I don't care how bad it is or how hard it is, I absolutely need to do it. And well, so you just work at it until you do.
Because a lot of the time when you were a kid, that was like one of the only games you had because you didn't have disposable income or anything. Now, you know, if you get fed up with a game, you can just go play a different game.
Yep.
Yeah, now yeah, it's so like, what the fuck is this game? I don't want to play this.
Yo Noid on the NES or something. He was like, well, yeah. I've got to like this now. I've got to.
Well, no, I actually only played that game as an adult, and I still fucking love that game, and I felt... I felt like I had to beat it. I guess I still have that in a way.
Well, like if you play one game for say the first platform you played in 5 years, you're gonna suck at it. If you play a third one or a second and a third one, then you're gonna be pretty good at them at that point. I think, because that's what happens to me. Like, because I played Mega Man 4 and I was terrible at it, but now I'm getting decent at them again.
You're not really getting decent.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about
what a joke.
The enemy design in Super Mario and how horrific they are, especially in the Jack-o'-lantern world.
The thing walking around with like a dagger in its head.
Yes, the Goomba wearing the Jason mask with the dagger in his head.
Oh, that's what that was supposed to be.
I thought, when I was a kid, I thought it was an apple. I thought it was some weird apple.
I just don't understand.
But
also,
it was
the,
meant to be an apple.
In the Macro Mario Zone thing, they've got the Lego knockoff that Nintendo did in like the 60s or something, which is quite cool.
Oh, they do. I didn't realize that was a Nintendo thing. And
yeah,
that's
they did
what,
a Nintendo block or Lego. Something. It was NB, I think it was called, or something stupid.
Huh.
Pretty cool.
You know what I like in the Jack-o'-lantern world? They have you know, like the weird lanterns and the umbrella, and those are like, you know, Japanese spirits. That's like the only really distinctly Japanese thing I've seen in a Mario game, I think.
This game probably has the most. This Mario game probably has the most enemy variety of any Mario game, probably.
Well,
I guess you could say that, but a lot of the enemies just like do the same thing, don't they?
How about those bee enemies?
Which bee enemies?
You know,
those bee enemies that just like fly away the minute you go near them. Like, what's even the point?
Yeah, but there's a bit different bees. Like, there's in the hive level, there's bees that fly out, and some bees are skeleton bees, and you can't kill them.
You know, there's just skeleton bees.
Yeah, they're bees with skulls somehow. Even though
bees don't have skeletons, they have exoskeletons.
I legit don't remember any of that, and I only played the game a few weeks ago.
Well, maybe you didn't go through the hive zone. Maybe you went through the leaf level.
Oh yeah,
because there's two paths you can take.
Oh yeah, I think I went for the shitey leaf level. My bad.
I always take the fucking hive level.
And you died many times.
You know, in that one area in the tree zone where you're like inside the tree and there's all that weird water that you can float in, and there's like some kind of cow fish thing.
Yeah.
And it's just what?
It's a sea cow.
Oh.
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Makes as much sense as anything else in the game.
Like when I was a kid, my only memory of playing this game was on a friend's Game Boy because I was too poor to have a Game Boy.
Aww.
And I played it for an hour and it was the best game ever. And my friend never brought his Game Boy to school again. And now I played it and I couldn't get rid of that memory. So that's all I remember about the game.
And then you just went back to playing with shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
A broken shoe and some shoelaces.
Absolutely. That's nothing. Once when I was a kid, me and my friend Ben decided Ben Shart.
Is
his name Shart? Are you serious?
No, his name was Ben Sharrett, but everyone saw it on the it might have been misspelled actually on one of my games as Ben Shart. So he just became Ben Shart forever.
That's terrible.
I'm sorry, Ben.
Kids are cruel.
Anyway, so Ben and you.
But we were digging a hole in the garden, and we wanted to get all the way to Australia, obviously. And eventually it came about that wasn't going to happen, so we gave up. And then later my cat died, and my dad was like...
Because he fell in the hole.
No, my dad was like, do you mind if I bury the cat in this hole that you've made? And I was like, sure. And so for those months that I was digging that hole, I had unintentionally been digging my cat's grave.
Yeah, that's a bit nonchalant way to react to it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, just throw the cat in.
Maybe I just wanted to tell you that story.
I have a story about hole digging.
I have a story about... Well, like, let me just finish that thing. I was going to say, did you know that the world's largest sea cow farming industry is in the UK?
Get them sea cows. No. Gotta get the sea milk.
Yep.
Weren't there sea cows? No. Weren't there sea cows in Mario Land 2?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm thinking of that hippo. The hippo that blows the bubble that gets you through space.
Yes.
Anyway, I have a story about hole digging.
I want to hear this.
When I was a kid, I read Calvin and Hobbes, and in one strip, Calvin was digging a hole to China. And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to do that too. So I went out in my yard and started digging. My dad was like, what are you doing, son? And I'm digging a hole to China. And then he told me that since I was in Sweden, I wouldn't actually end up in China. I'd just end up in the Pacific Ocean and drown. So,
stop digging.
Best parent.
Creative parent role.
Yeah, he just destroyed my dream of China right there.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, you could have just walked there faster.
Yeah, but that's not how it works. It's not how a kid thinks. Anyway, Mario Brothers 2. No, Mario Land 2. What was your favorite?
I know it is.
What was your favorite world?
Mario Zone is the best.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Why are you pronouncing it Mario?
Yeah,
that's how he pronounces it in the games.
No,
it's
Mario.
Mario.
It's Mario.
Not Mario. Mario.
Mario.
I think my favorite world is probably the Space Zone or whatever, because of the music.
Yeah.
Space Zone only has two levels, though. That's kind of a bummer.
But they're still good.
There's a hidden level, isn't there?
The reason they only have
Oh yeah, there is a hidden level.
There's hidden levels, there's a couple in the space zone? In the
game, actually. There is a hidden level.
I know there's one in the trees as well. In the game, but...
And elsewhere, I think? Might be one in the sea zone, I think,
No, I want to... Yeah,
sea zone definitely one in the pumpkin zone.
Oh yeah, the one where you go inside the whale.
Yeah...
No, wait, that's the second level, anyway. No, that was a cool level when you go inside the whale.
I think every other world, essentially, has a... every other zone, sorry, has a secret level of some description.
And there's some levels that you just don't, like, you don't even have to do. Like, they're completely optional, which is pretty neat.
There's also the fact that you can use... You can go into some levels and just go and get coins in them to use in the slot machines.
That's cool. There's one level that's really good for that. It might be the hippo level, actually.
Yeah, hippo level has a ton of coins, dude.
You just do it over and over again, then put them in a slot machine and wait as it lands on 5 lives over and over again, except I didn't because I save-stated to get the 99 lives.
I remember. It's not the fish level that has the secret entrance. It is Macro Zone. The one where you go inside the house and you're like tiny. That one, in the first level, you can go up in the sky and just immediately get to the attic without having to go through the house.
How do you get up the chimney of the one part in the macro zone? Because I know I could never figure it out.
Oh my god,
so
I did it when I was a kid. I always had to
take the shortcut instead.
I think I did it as a kid at some point. I don't remember how I did it. Oh well.
The reason that there's so much gold in the hippo level is because it's a commentary on the plundering that Europe did in colonial Africa.
I don't know.
This is why I have Jamba on this podcast, because he's an amazing human being.
He's basically Dodds, isn't he? He's American Dodds.
He's American Dodds.
He's American Dodds.
Not American Dodds.
No.
He's not as good as Dodds, though. Jamba.
He's just Jamba.
Sorry. You're a second-rate version of Dodds, but you're still okay, Jamba.
We need an American version of me.
No, we don't.
No, actually, no. Everybody knows I'm the legend. I can't be replaced.
Yes, you
anyway,
can.
Anyway,
I'm going to memorize all
American
your quotes.
Version. No one.
Yeah, because you're so boring.
No, nobody can have a voice. No American can have a voice that's as awesome as Everdark's.
Yeah.
They can't if they're imported from another country.
Yeah, that's true,
I think Jamba is quite close to my monotone voice.
Your voice is not monotone compared to mine.
Well, it can be.
Yours is way more expressive.
Anyway, what were we talking... Mario Land 2. The point is, that's a fun game. It's enjoyable.
I didn't even play it, to be honest.
Wow, okay.
Oh yeah, fucking...
I forgot, I'm sorry.
Was also a secret level in the pumpkin zone. I remember that. There's a ton of secret levels. They just keep coming back to me. Anyway, the pumpkin zone has some pretty cool enemies, right? Like the fucking Dracula. You can be him.
Isn't there only one instance of him?
Yeah, Dracula only shows up once. He's the legend. Nobody can replace him.
The more you say it, the more I don't believe it.
No, I was talking about him this time.
I know, but just...
Anyway,
I found a wonderful map of all the locations in Mario 2. I think you should look at it.
I mean, post a link,
Mario.
I love
Mario.
Also, I love games
Mario.
Where what is this? What are these?
Great.
What is this?
This
is amazing.
Oh my god! We need to link this just because how stupid it looks.
This is great, man. That hippo.
I'm surprised.
Look at Mario. Look at little Mario.
Look, you can
little
email him.
I want to send him an email. He made it in 2005, so years later.
76. Was this guy born in 1976?
Yeah, he was 30 years old when this.
He
was
had, no.
Years later, he just gets all these emails about thanks for this great map you made years ago.
He had early onset dementia, that's why he made this thing.
Catsman, you gotta save this thing so we can link it in the show notes, because it's fucking funny.
Levels. Yeah, that was it.
Anyway.
An extra stage. To make an easy game even easier, you can just go to an extra stage and just like grind out coins and power-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
If you need them.
That was cool. That was cool.
I remember when I played Super Mario World, I was really obsessive about my life count, because I unlocked the secret world thing where you can just get infinite lives.
Yeah.
So I always had to keep it at 300 or close to it. So
just
I was at Bowser's Castle, and every time, and like I could stand some, maybe lose about 3 lives, and then I had to go back because I didn't have any power-ups and I needed more lives.
Amazing. I remember in I think it was Super Mario Brothers 2, you know, also known as Doki Doki Panic. I found like a place where you could really easily grind lives. And I just, for some reason, I just kept exploiting it until I had 99, probably because I was 7 at the time and really bad at the game, but yeah, it wasn't great.
What's the moral of this story?
No, before we move on, let's just talk about Wario's Castle. We didn't mention that.
Why is why is that so hard? I don't get it.
Yeah, Wario's Castle is a lot harder than everything else. It has like cannons that shoot at you, like crushers, like in Castlevania. Like,
the problem with it is also, or I guess maybe that's, maybe it's not the problem, maybe it's the good thing, that the first area is way harder than all the other areas, and so.
Isn't there some area, some spot in like the second floor of the castle where there's an invisible switch that you step on that activates like some kind of crusher or something? Yeah.
There's floor switches that activate cannons.
If you jump over it, then it doesn't activate it and it becomes really easy to get through.
But that's just one area. Like the castle is... Let's see, there's fireballs, and then there's awkward jumps onto moving platforms.
Oh my god, I hate that part.
I don't think I died once on that part in my, like, 60 deaths it took me to beat the game.
Wow. And
then there's, like, there's bits where you have to jump over one-block-wide platforms that disappear when you stand on them. Those are easily... That's easily the hardest bit. And then... There's a bunch of easy stuff about like jumping on platforms that rise into a ceiling of spikes.
But then Wario is actually pretty easy.
And then Wario,
yeah, he's not hard.
I think it took me like 2 tries to beat him of actually getting to him. I just kept fucking dying on the right at the start of the fireballs part because I'm an idiot.
If you just run, you can get through them. Just sprint and just keep jumping.
Yeah, thanks for that useful advice. Sprint and keep jumping. The next time I'm having trouble in Mega Man 10, I'll think to myself, you know what? If I just run and keep jumping, I'm sure I'll eventually beat the game. You're an asshole.
You are an asshole. Hold down the sprint button and write, the things don't hit you.
You are an asshole. You are an asshole.
Jesus Christ.
Catsman, you're dumb.
Yeah, I know.
I do like the format of the last fight because it's like, first, he gets fireballs, and then you get fireballs, and then you have a fireball fight. And then he gets the bunny ears, and you get the bunny ears, and you have a bunny ear fight. And there's 3 parts to this.
It's pretty.
And then
cool.
when you beat him, Mario just runs and just jumps out the window. And as a kid, I was like, "What the fuck, Mario? No!"
So he kills himself?
No, I don't know. It's like in Super Mario Bros. 3 when you get the. When you get the staff from the airships, and then he just falls down with the staff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't really die.
Well, Mario can't die from jumping, because he'll just always land on his feet perfectly.
And Mario has no fall damage, except in Super Mario 64.
But he doesn't. He can ground pound. He can ground pound.
Okay. Mario Land 2, isn't the rabbit ears has... It's like a plant or something before you pick it up.
It's a carrot. Yeah,
a carrot. You get a carrot and you get bunny ears.
That makes sense then.
I just call it carrot ears.
The island of Dr. Mario.
What? Where's that on this map?
Island of Dr. Moreau. You know, they get different like animal parts.
Oh.
Island of Dr. Never mind.
I'm sure someone in the comments will get it and they'll go, wow, you're fucking Philistines.
Island of Dr. Moreau. You serious? It's not very Philistine.
Has there been a hard 3D platformer?
Hard 2D platformer?
3D.
3D platformer.
There are parts in Mario Galaxy.
Super Mario Sunshine. Fuck that game.
Yeah.
It's not a bad game. Mario Sunshine.
I would agree with comments made about Mario Galaxy that it gets really hard in
places. Some of the purple coin levels. Like the one where you have to run across a 2D Luigi or something.
The purple coin challenge thing.
Yeah, that.
That's horrible. The hardest thing in Super Mario Sunshine is the water level where you have to get on a little lily pad and jet across to get coins, and you can only go down once. And it's a bitch to get there as well.
All you do is ride a Yoshi.
That are actually hard
on the boat.
Yeah, but you only have to cheat.
You only have to get rid of the cheese once, and then it's always gone.
Some levels of Crash Bandicoot were really sadistic.
Oh yeah, yeah. Crash Bandicoot has really hard levels, right?
If you want to get all like the gems in Crash Bandicoot, that was
like that.
And fucking Crash Bandicoot 3 with its like. It had like talismans where you had to run through the level really fast, and then gems where you had to do secret areas.
Crystals were the things you needed to get to advance. You needed gems by getting all of the boxes in a level. You got a gem, which was a clear gem, and then you also got like colored gems for doing other stuff. Some of those gems needed you to have other gems to create platforms for you to continue. And then you had the talismans, which were speedrunning through a level after you.
They're not talismans, are they? They're onks.
They're called relics.
And then once you'd done all of that shit, the fucking thing in the middle of the hub level opens up, and there's a whole nother series of levels.
Yep.
Yeah. See, that's why
some of those are really, really sadistic.
I never beat that game. I never did.
I think I might have done.
It's the easiest Crash Bandicoot.
I think I might have 100%ed that one when I was little.
No, Crash One is actually
105%. Crash 1 is not easier.
Crash 1 still has some really, really
nice... Crash 1 is the hardest.
The thing about Crash 1 is it's a lot harder to just like blast through the whole game and get to the ending, but there's less collect-y bullshit.
There's less collect-a-thon stuff, yeah.
There's still an entire... Like, you have to... There's still a lot of gems to get the true ending.
Yeah,
well, actually, it's not the true ending because the 100% ending's non-canon, because that's funny.
Yeah.
Because you don't beat Neo Cortex, you just leave.
Crash 2 is also... Crash 2... I think what Crash 2 had in it. Crash 2 had crystals and gems as well.
Yeah, Crash 2 had but it didn't have the relics, I don't think.
No, it didn't. It was still decent, though.
Anyway.
That was a relatively good challenge.
The point is that Mario Land 2 is a fun game, and we miss you, Gunpei Yokoi. Please come back to life. Yeah.
He's dead. I can never keep track of all the dead people in the gaming industry.
So, what's the next game that we should be playing at the video
game
book club?
Well, it has to be an indie game.
Yeah, indie game.
Oh, yeah.
It's your pick, Catman.
Oh, it's my pick. God, I don't know.
Make sure it's obscure.
Star Citizen.
No one can know about it.
Obscure, like monkey brains or something.
Why don't we all play Catman's games from his youth?
I will send you one game. Sonic the Hedgehog, the Manned Machine.
Not that one.
Yes, that one.
No. We should talk about 12 Years to Kill Your Dog just real quick.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, we should.
So, have we talked about Catman's childhood games before on this podcast?
We haven't yet. No, I mentioned that I was going to do it like in March, and then I didn't for ages.
When you mentioned you found them.
Yeah,
right?
I found them at Christmas actually. So, so these childhood games. I think the highlights of these, and I will only tell you about the highlights of these, because otherwise we'd be here all day.
There were some bad ones.
There were some really bad games. The game that spawned flying swastikas that tried to hunt you down. There was the game about the box dog where you could control the shit coming out of it, but not the dog. It was a dog that was constantly shitting, and you just controlled dog shit, but it had no effect on like the overarching story of the game. Every other game seemed to play MIDI versions of like The Who music. There was the cheap Chinese Mega Man with knobbly-ass knees. There was the game where Hiawatha, the Iriki man from that famous poem, wants to build a canoe, but all the trees just want to kill him. and he has to, like, defeat the trees, and all of the trees are oak trees.
What about the one, Egyptian pyramid one that actually had a voiceover?
That was the Egyptian pyramid one that had a voiceover from Young
Cat. I liked the one where Doc did 9/11.
And of course, the crown jewels there was the one where Sonic the Hedgehog said, "Is the Pope Jewish?" the crown jewels, however, are the one where it's like a dog like getting squashed by things, but then
it's called 12 ways to kill your dog, and it's just like for each month it's a different way to kill your dog.
And most of them are pretty innocuous, like most of them are cartoony, aren't they?
Yeah, like an apple falls on him and
I
like,
don't know, he got burnt to death, he drowned a couple times.
Yeah,
that was kind of disturbing, but like, yeah, the best one, tell him Catsman.
But in the middle it's like going through all these and then it gets to September and you're like, well, what's it gonna do? And it just shows like a plane flying into two towers and a dog's like sitting on the ground and gets like killed, and you're like, really, this is a game about a dog that was killed in 9/11.
We went nuts during that part.
All the things I could have made a game about. I made a game about a dog being killed in 9/11.
It's and a then
just
game.
Go, afterwards, it just goes back to seasonal themed deaths, like nothing happened.
Like, there wasn't even like the big punchline. There was just one of the things.
No, it's just one of the regular things, like da, 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 da. And then it ends, and like fucking really, like really. And then there were just like, there were weird, like really boring games like Garden Builder Deluxe, which is literally just a game which you like copy paste and layout for a garden, or Desktop Plant Grower Deluxe, where you have to feed Miracle Grow to every plant or it won't grow.
What about Versus and the Minotaur?
There's a game about Theseus and the Minotaur where every word in the title was misspelt and was misspelt for the entire duration of the game.
What about the Windows Simulator?
Oh, and Theseus could shoot his fist like Rayman for some reason.
What was that one? He could grow many fists.
Don't you mean like Quark?
What was the one where there was like not a lot of gameplay and it was just really weird and surreal, and there was a boat or something
that,
and a lot of people
everyone.
Were comparing it to Yume Nikki.
Oh shit, hang on, let me think. The one that I don't know about the Yume Nikki one. I don't know which one that was. I know what you mean though. Some of them were really weird. There was one called Sonic Has No Idea What's Going On,
which was Sonic
the Hedgehog, and a bunch of levels with really, really long names with like openings that lasted for like 20 seconds or more that just said like Dover Califragilistic Expialidocious Zone is the first one.
Then each
level is just like one screen of Sonic. And then you walk off the screen and it's the next level. And it goes on for the entire game. And then at the end, there's like a Robotnik jumping up and down. And he says, arrr, 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 arrr.
In Catsman's voice.
Yeah, in Catsman's voice.
And then you jump on him once. And it plays music while Sonic flies around in the air for no reason.
Wasn't that rambling interspersed with just someone saying, that's enough?
yeah it's amazing. It's an amazing series of games, and I will be making it into a YouTube series. I've got the green light from Gather Your Party, so that should be
amazing.
Games,
God. Your games reminded me a lot of the games like the Catamite makes, but he's an adult.
Yeah
and you make the same games as him.
But it's the innocence of youth and like the way you think the world works when you're
innocent.
A kid. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I never made games as a kid, but I did make some like weird like animations.
Like Jerry Jackson films.
Some of them were like stick figure fighting, and some of them were just like weird shit. I don't just things that pop out of my head basically, but unfortunately it does have been lost to time because the computer erased them. Break. However, one of my friends used to run a game maker class for kids, for like pretty young kids. I think I talked about this when we were doing the stream.
Yeah.
And he told me there were all these weird games, and the example he gave me was a game where there's two players, and each player is like a huge dick that flashes with every color of the rainbow.
What?
And you have to guide the dicks into each other, and then. That's the game.
Oh god!
And I've been trying to get him to make a RAR file of all the games because I think he still has them, and I will probably stream those at some point if I can get a hold of him.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
So anyway, what game are we doing next?
I have one.
Oh, what?
It's called Hockey Question Mark, and it's a first-person hockey game. It's multiplayer, and I think we should all play it.
That sounds pretty crazy.
Haven't people played this on stream before already?
I don't think so.
Okay.
How many here have played Space Funeral?
Not me.
Nope.
No.
No.
You should play Space Funeral.
Wasn't that Katzman's pick?
Only me and Katzman played Space Funeral?
You're the only people in the universe who
have. Then we should play that shit, because that game is fantastic.
Space Funeral is the game, book club game for next month. If you're a listener, then please do tell us your opinions on Space Funeral, and we'll get back to it next time.
Is it free?
Yes, it is. It's a free RPG Maker game.
All game book club games will be free.
You'll be able to emulate them.
Or ROMs.
Or very easily emulatable.
Did you read off the comments? Because there's some stuff about Submarland 2 on there.
The comments is the last thing I have here on the... Well, I mean, we've sort of been talking about what we've been playing already, I guess, a bit.
We talked about Sonic Racing and
Odyssey Through Shite, but I'd just like to mention two things that I've been playing. First is Trouble in Terrorist Town, which is still a really fun game type for Garry's Mode. Highly recommend it. And other is Brave New World, of course, which came out in the space between this podcast and last one, I think.
Yeah. How many hours do you have on it now?
Very many. And the point about Brave New World is that it's a very good single-player game, and the multiplayer seems to have gotten worse since Gods and Kings.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, the netcode sucks ass.
The netcode is probably the worst I've encountered in any game.
Are they still doing simultaneous turns?
Yes.
Ugh.
And it still doesn't work properly. You can turn simultaneous turns off, but it's just bad. But all the stuff that they've added, like the World Congress is fantastic. Trading is great. Tourism is great. You know, there's so many new interesting choices and new gameplay dynamics in there, and it really spices up the mid through late game quite significantly.
Fantastic.
Now all we need is the diplomatic features from Civ 4, like trading maps and things like that, trading techs.
I would like to be able to trade techs, definitely.
I want that and then some stuff to spice up the early game for a third expansion if they ever make one.
Spice up the early game's fine for me.
No, the thing about the early game for me is that it just takes too long to like get an army going. Like, good luck starting a war before Jesus is born.
I just want to say, like, fuck. Oh yeah, there were techs. You could trade techs in like Civ 2, so what the fuck?
I think they took it out for like balance reasons or something along those
Technically,
lines.
You've got like a research agreement, which will
A research agreement is like the Civ 5 equivalent. That's a little less because I think that's what it was. It was balanced reasons, and especially they noticed. I mean, obviously, like the AIs would just trade technologies to one another ridiculously cheaply.
Yeah,
especially if you were on higher difficulties. But also you could get things like the car before you got a fucking wheel.
Yeah.
Anyways, one game I would like for us to play at some point is Yoshi's Story for Nintendo 64.
It's a fairly short Yoshi's Island, out of curiosity.
Well, I think Yoshi's Island is quite long compared to Yoshi's Story.
That game is not that long.
Yoshi's Island doesn't have wah, 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 exactly. Which makes it a superior game.
Superior for not having that?
Superior, but what? I kind of would like to play
some
short game.
It has plenty of other good
game.
Music tracks as well.
I'd be fine with Yoshi's Story, but Yoshi's Island is a lot better.
Yoshi's Island is a better game.
We stick to the game we already picked.
Yeah, Space Funeral.
But next time we're doing emulation. Okay. So that would be, do one of those too.
It's going to be Yonoid. No, it's not.
I'm not going to make
you guys play Yonoid. I just like that game a lot.
So, have you guys been playing anything interesting that you'd like to share before?
Ghostbusters Racing and Trouble in Terrorist Town, both great games.
So I finally got a PS3, and so I was I was playing Demon's Souls because I bought the PS3 specifically so I could play Demon's Souls because I liked Dark Souls a lot.
Yep.
And I actually found Demon's Souls to be fairly easy after Dark Souls, mm-hmm. probably because I already know all the mechanics and stuff. So I can be that guy who always says that Demon's Souls and Dark Souls is easy and that pisses everyone off.
But they aren't that hard. No,
they aren't.
Jamba said it, therefore it pisses people off.
There you go.
Nice.
Demon's Souls is interesting because you can really... It's one of those games where you can see exactly how they iterated on it to create Dark Souls and what they they tried to do. Demon's Souls has a lot more bullshit than Dark Souls does, though.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of bosses are more gimped towards like specific play styles.
Yeah.
Like, I always like to do a heavy melee build
yes.
for my first playthrough, and I just got completely wrecked by, like, the Flame Lurker.
You would do, yeah. Magic and the way to go in Demon's Souls if you want it to be
destroyed
easy.
Destroyed me.
But no, I still think it's fantastic and what they did with it, and I am happy for every success that series has had.
Apparently, I already have Space Funeral downloaded. Damn. What's unique about it? Because I know that there's something unique about it if I already had it on this computer.
Just play it.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Just go into it blind. Find out.
But it's a JRPG, so I'm not going to unless you give me a reason.
Bob,
no.
Fuck
no,
off.
It's not. No, it's
fuck
not
off.
A JRPG.
It was made by a Scotsman.
It's an SRPG. It's a Scottish role-playing game.
Japanese style. What do you
Bob,
want me to miss?
I'm not going to discuss this any further. You're going to play Space Funeral, and you're going to damn well like it.
Anyway, I've been playing Fire Emblem. I talked about this before, but I need to talk about something else.
Which one?
I got to the point... the new one.
Okay, yeah.
I got to the point in the story where you start getting kids, and I always wondered, how the hell am I supposed to have kids? Do you get, like, a time skip or something, and then your kids grow up, and you fight them? But no, they come from the future.
Yep.
They come from the future. I found this out, like, fucking Crom's kid shows up, and then my own kid showed up.
Yep.
And my own son died on the first mission I took him to. I didn't even care. Didn't even start over. It's so stupid that they come from the future.
What class was your son?
I don't remember. He died too fast. I don't care.
Amazing.
That's nice.
Is he still showing up in cutscenes?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I just fucking do not do any of the kid missions when you recruit the kids. I care so little about them. I don't want them in my party.
I turn permadeath
it's
off,
too
so.
Stupid. That. Oh my god.
Anyway,
yeah,
so.
Fuck future kids.
I've been playing Project Cross Zone, which is the Sega, Bandai Namco, and. Who else? Capcom crossover game
you mean
strategy.
You mean Namkai Bando?
No.
Bando Namkai. There we go.
I mean Namco Bandai.
Quit your jibber jabbering, Jamba.
Anyway, so the game is okay. The combat is okay. But one thing that just tires me out, I usually just play one chapter and then I stop. And I wait a day or two, and then I play another chapter. But the thing that gets me is the story is always the same in that a new character will appear, they don't know what's going on, all the characters will explain what's going on, and then you'll move on. And then a new character will show up, and they don't know what's going on, and then they explain it, and it just goes on, and it's so tedious and repetitive. And it's getting to the point where I just can't go on anymore.
You know what I want to hear about? I want to hear about Slime Climb.
That sounds like a fake game name.
No, it's a level in Donkey Kong Country 2.
Slime Climb.
Slime Climb.
No.
Oh, yeah.
How about we not? How about we talk about Super Mario Luigi RPG 4, which I've been playing as well, which is very fun. And I like the combat in that game more than any RPG, and it's fun. Super Mario RPG 4. It's not out yet in
Mario
America.
And Luigi Dream Team.
Yeah, Dream
Team.
Name? Yeah.
I'll probably get that game at some point, but I just can't
it
afford
is really
it.
Now.
I'm
going to
link something.
There's
that
lots
might amuse
of little.
You.
There's lots of little shiny badges and things you collect, and it's really really good. So yeah, thumbs up for that. Not so much for Project Cross Zone.
You guys want to move on to the comments?
Sure.
So,
yes.
I'd like to talk about what I've been playing. But
oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Oh, go, oh
yeah.
No, go ahead.
So, I went away for a week to visit my mother, and her internet connection went down 2 days before I got there, so that was a good start. It didn't come back up, so I was actually reduced to playing games instead of going on the internet and bitching about them. So I played through the entirety of Luigi's Mansion 2, which I'd saved for that trip, and I'm so glad I did. Very, very good. I was very impressed by how much they managed to cram into a portable game. I don't think it's as good as the original, because I like the personality ghosts more than the sort of random ghosts that they give you in Luigi's Mansion 2, but that was top marks for effort, lots of different environments. It's pretty good. And then I went and played Pikmin 3 on stream, although I had to do it on After Dark because Twitch and their stupidity. And that was enjoyable, although I managed to make a complete faff of it and a complete moron of myself by dying against the first boss, or not winning against the first boss because I went in with like 2 minutes left on the clock and was stupid. So that was fun. But no, that's also been really, really fun. And then I was playing Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, which I keep talking about in chat and in stream and here. And I seem to have convinced more people to buy it, and I encourage everyone to go and look at it because there's a demo on Steam, and it's really good. And that's it.
Can I talk about XCOM?
Yes.
If you want to talk about XCOM, go ahead.
I got XCOM over the Steam sale, and it's the new one. I played the old ones, but the interface always pissed me off. So I like that they fixed the interface in the new one, except that they also fucked up the spawn system, because now you spawn baddies by just like moving at the sight of them, and suddenly there's three of them out of nowhere. And that just annoyed me, because sometimes you can just move up if you haven't moved up like more than one or two tiles before you get into their kind of like a spawn zone. You don't even notice them until, you know, you get them. I forget where I was going with this, but they spawn and then suddenly a whole bunch of other people can spawn at the same time because their spawn zones are random.
Yeah.
So sometimes you get like 10 people coming at you at the same time. Sometimes you get nobody coming at you, and that's purely because you didn't wander into their spawn zone.
They're not so much random as the fact that they actually move if you haven't found them yet, so they'll teleport around the map, which gets really awkward. You can find some really, really odd glitches happening when that happens. But yeah,
yeah.
Speaking, it's
like
really
after 30 turns, I think it is, they start trying to chase you, so you don't spend your entire time just trying to chase after that last guy. But yeah, I had pretty good fun with it. They fixed a lot of stuff in the original, but they kept enough, especially the difficulty. I like the difficulty, although for the metagame, it was more like just try to get your satellites up in time before everybody starts freaking out and abandoning you.
Yep, pretty much.
And then after I beat the game, I was wondering, like, hey, what happens if you just go pure Shiv? So I rushed to get Shivs, which are basically these kind of like replacements for tanks from the original, and just put six of them in a squad, and suddenly you can defeat everything. But I had good fun with it, and that was a good game.
I've tried to move it to the next segment too many times. I've given up.
Yeah, I'll do it now.
Do it, man.
I just want to talk about...
God damn it.
God damn it.
I'm joking.
No.
Comment section from last week. Fallout said, Jesus, Happy wasn't kidding about Tom being an intro. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually been looking around for other voice actors that could potentially... We could ask to do an intro. I might ask... the guy who does Flux McCloud in Star Fox 64. I think that would be cool.
Oh, yeah, he'd be cool.
Or maybe Slippy. That would be even better.
No.
Yes.
You just contact random voice actors to see if they'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
A lot of them will.
Langdon, if you can get to do a Dante voice.
Because video game voice actors generally aren't that, like, appreciated, I guess. Mm.
And Wesker.
So, voice actors in general.
Occasionally.
Yeah, Wesker's voice actor is a really cool guy.
Yeah. Also Ruben Langdon, the guy that does Ken in Street Fighter and... Dante from Devil May Cry. He's
heard
cool.
That Johnny Young boss is pretty egotistical, though.
Do you know who I would assholes. Like to have do our intro?
Who?
I'd love to have the Alucard from Symphony of the Night do it.
Oh my. That would be incredible! Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it would be fucking amazing.
I wonder who did the voices for SNES Star Fox.
They were all like one voice sample or two voice samples that they just slowed down and sped up.
I'm sure someone suggested it, but what about David Hayter?
he's not
a job now, it's all right.
He's too cool. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. For this podcast.
Serpent 1. What, you want land for a game like League? How will they make sure you aren't playing champions you haven't played for? Or worse yet, how could you equip runes that give you free advantages before you start the match? I have no idea what this is.
It's someone basically being passively aggressive, complaining about how League of Legends is a giant money grab.
Oh, I
think
see.
It was because we were talking about LAN options in games and stuff and how it's basically dead, which is...
There's two comments about 9/11. Raccoons did 9/11? Someone's misinformed. It was Microsoft.
Oh, and the other guy the said, it was the dog.
The other guy said, 9/11 joke too soon. We're too bad, buddy, because we've made another one in the next podcast.
Wow. This is how many podcasts are we going to have in a row with 9/11, honestly?
Well, it's kind of how we talked about Macho Man Randy Savage like three times.
Just rename this the Macho Man Randy Savage and 9/11 podcast.
Yeah. Those are they're different eras. We had the Macho Man era, and now we have the 9/11 era.
I'm sorry. It was too soon when I made 12 Ways to Kill Your Dog.
It was not
2003.
No, 12 Ways to Kill Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, it was 2003.
12 Ways to Kill Macho Man Randy Savage. Number one, heart attack. Number two, put a snake in his wedding cake. Number three, what else happened to Macho Man? Number three, steal his girlfriend. Fuck you, Hulk Hogan. Number four, fire him so he has to go to WCW. There we go. Those are four at least.
They have to be seasonally themed, Happy Man.
Seasonally? All right. I don't know what else.
Yeah, Santa.
Maybe rub some poison into his ridiculous cowboy hat and hope something happens. I don't know.
Santa suffocates him after a pinfall. I don't know.
Yeah. So Shawnee said, yo, fuck you guys. Saints Row 3 is awesome. It's the only game where I can play what I was truly meant to be. A strong, independent black woman with superpowers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
was Saints that a joke? Maybe a little?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Saints Row is kind of lame to me because it just tries too hard. Like, GTA
2 was, like, relatively controlled.
Yeah, 2 is the, like, middle ground, I guess. 3 is just ridiculous. But I don't know. I like the fuck around factor of GTA way more because GTA is still pretty... really. It's still pretty crazy, but it's not as crazy as, like, Saints Row is. And so, like, when you make crazy shit happens, it's way funnier because little more subdued than Saints Row is.
I think Vice City got the balance about right, to be honest. Yeah. I think most people would agree. Because after that, it sort of started going a bit too serious, I think. I don't know.
Well, yeah, especially and with 4.
Before that, it was like, in the first one, it was funny. There were like all these conga lines, and you could light them on fire. But
I don't know. GTA 5 kind of looks like it's going back in that... silly direction, maybe a little.
No, don't get me wrong. I actually thought the story was quite good in 4.
Boo!
I don't know anything about 5. Well, I guess we'll talk about it when it comes out. Dushanon, I really hate that I think of a bunch of good comments during these podcasts, but I don't listen at them at my computer, so I forget all of them. Anyways, Fire Emblem Awakening is a good game, but it isn't a very good Fire Emblem game. The focus on pairing up and relationships is not very good, and is pretty badly balanced. Not that Fire Emblem has always been a balanced game. I hope it's not a sign of future Fire Emblems. Aside from Time Kids, I thought the support system was fine. And other Fire Emblem games have a support too, so it's not exactly anything new.
It's interesting that he says, I hope it doesn't go in this direction. Apparently, Nintendo told Intelligent Systems this may be the last one if it doesn't sell well enough. And so they said, we did everything that we ever wanted to do in a Fire Emblem game. And
it sold really well, so...
So it could well go in that direction, because that's essentially that's what they wanted to do with it, with their last, possibly last Fire Emblem game.
That's what every publisher should do. They should just tell the developer, this is probably going to be the last one unless it sells well, so that they just do everything they ever wanted to.
I agree. I'm fucking sick of sequel hooks. Fucking sick of them. Stop it. I just like it's kind of their nice self-contained experiences.
It's kind of like Kiss touring. They always say it's the last one.
Speaking of Fire Emblem, can someone tell me what would be a good Fire Emblem to start on? Because I have never played any of them.
Do you have
on the Famicom?
No, if you
Sacred Stones, probably.
Actually, yeah, the one on DS, I would say Shadow Dragon. It's good, pretty good to start with. It's kind of hard, but it's
I like difficulty.
Yeah, Go with Shadow Dragon. If you have a GameCube or Wii, preferably one that is soft modern, so you can download them, because these games are fucking expensive. Okay. I would go with Path of Radiance or Radiant Dawn. Those games are awesome, but they're really hard to find, so you're better off just stealing them. But they're really good games, too.
The new one seems fairly good as a starting point. It's my first Fire Emblem, and I've had... Yeah, I got into it pretty well. It was alright.
You mean borrowing them, Happy Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, having a backup of
it's
a copy you already
stealing.
Have.
It's not stealing.
Just imagine an alternate universe iteration of yourself already owns a copy, so...
Yeah, exactly.
You effectively already own it.
Fuck you.
Next.
I think Shin Megami Tensei 4 will be number one, because I already know that it sold a bunch of copies in Japan, then Dynasty Warriors and MGS. I think MGS should be last, because MGS HD exists, and I doubt that as many people will buy it again. And the fact that it's only one system hurts it too. Well, he was wrong, because Dynasty Warriors sold the most. And Animal Crossing has sold a shit ton, too. I'll comment other stuff once I finish the podcast. But heck, man, gotta watch this Jocko. Same goes for everyone else. I watched some of his videos. I like that.
That's like another good Finnish guy like me, yeah.
Yeah, he has videos that are the titles are like arguments. They're like argumentative videos. But then the whole video is just a video of his cats. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
I'm sure if you guys were to take the podcast back to 1998, you wouldn't disappoint and still bitch about Half-Life being scripted bullshit, or how the newest Tim Schafer game got delayed, or how a game has fevery, has action-packed trailer, and the new Fallout just isn't the same anymore. New Fallout? There was only one Fallout at that time.
Was Fallout 2.
When did Fallout 2 came out? I thought that came out in 99.
Yeah, probably.
I think it did.
Anyway, that's semantics.
Came out in 98, September 30, 98.
That's semantics. About 1 hour and 9 minutes in, the topic cuts from Rogue Legacy to Bioshock. Not sure if it's the magic of editing or a failed upload. Also, Bioshock 1 was not good before the big reveal and got worse afterwards. That cut was actually Fishhead's fault, because his mic didn't work and he came in and I had
I'm
to
sorry,
cut
I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
It's also, Bioshock was not good after the big reveal and got worse afterwards. I agree, that game sucks.
It doesn't really suck, I think. It's just mediocre and not worth all the praise.
You know it was supposed to be after the big reveal, like the game really opened up and became not open world, but kind of like set up in the same way as a Metroidvania.
Was it really supposed to be like that?
Yeah, but you know, it was kind of overambitious and they couldn't do it. Kind of like how a lot of stuff was supposed to be an infinite and didn't wind up being an infinite, so...
Any stuff, I guess.
Kind of how, Ken Levine sucks.
Ken Levine.
My biggest problem with Bioshock, and I've talked about this before, is that you can't really die. That is the biggest thing about anything else. Anyway, I'm kind of not in the mood to defend Gamebryo games, but Jilbor, I think, Mitch, and Katzman are objectively wrong. No, Katzman defended Fallout, I think.
I defended New Vegas, I think.
Yeah, Fallout 3 is a piece of shit. Nobody disagrees with that. But yeah, Jill Bohr said that.
I do.
What?
I disagree that Fallout 3 is a piece of shit.
Well, shut up.
Mitch, no.
It's a piece of shit by comparison, I would say. Anyway, Jill Bohr said that he beat New Vegas in 2 hours, which I don't really buy, to be honest.
I can imagine if you manage to run through, like, you know, all of the, what are the wasp things? They're really
annoying.
You could run through the Cazador blockade that's north of the starting town to get into New Vegas right from the start, maybe.
But you can't beat the story then, because you still have to go all the way around the map following the story.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, you don't. If you get to Vegas, all those quests are considered done already.
Got
to Vegas.
Yeah, as long as you can get to Benny and get the
actually,
shit.
The thing is that you know Wolf Hat, the guy who has a wolf hat to burn down Nipton.
Yeah.
If he comes to you later and gives you the ship, but if you didn't meet him in Nipton, then he still shows up and gives you the ship. And then when you meet him in Nipton, he goes, "Oh, we met before, but I wasn't wearing a wolf hat at the time." So it's like they thought of it. Like they thought maybe you would.
Well,
miss
it's
him.
Possible to get through the Cazadors. It's
it is, and
really hard.
Yeah. I'm looking at speedruns.
Yeah, the world like speedrun record last time I checked
minutes.
Was 47. Last time I checked was 1 hour 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's 37
minutes 52 seconds.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Anyway, I'm kind of, guilty pleasure didn't turn out to be much of a discussion. Anyway, mine would be stupid completionism, which I'm very self-aware of doing during boring games like Borderlands or Warframe, but I can do nothing about.
I love stupid completionism.
Yeah.
I love it. I love getting every gem in Spyro the Dragon.
Yes, yeah. In Spyro the Dragon or Crash, it feels worth it, though. Because
as long as they reward
you
for doing so. If they don't reward you for doing so, it's kind of a wasted opportunity.
I would like at least like a little bonus level at the end or a different ending.
Spyro and Crash are actually about collecting shit, though. But like, there's other games like Alan Wake, which they just throw it in for no reason.
I don't get why they'd be collecting in a game like that. Like,
I hate it when there's like some... In like Ocarina of Time with the golden skull tulas or Okami with the stray beads, where there's just like it's always around 100 of them, and they're really hard to find.
Yeah, exactly. This comes annoying, especially in open world games.
I'm not a fan of collecting things, but I do have to admit I collected all the gems and all the booze in Luigi's Mansion 2.
I 100%ed the sleeping dogs, I think, and the. What else did I do? Oh, yeah, Wario Land 3, 100% that, and Zelda Link to the Past, I think. Those are the three I can remember on the top of my head.
I got something around, like, 95% completion in Just Cause 2. That was pretty fun.
I don't, like, I can't blow up the windmills, man. I can't blow up the air bases and get rid of all the air spawns. Fuck that. I want the airports to stay open.
Wondering if the next podcast you'll be talking about Evo.
Yep.
Pretty much all of them. We didn't talk about long or anything.
You accurately predicted the podcast.
Congratulations. You win nothing.
Here's one that's actually about the book. Oh.
No, go ahead.
Here's something that's actually about the book club game. Playing Super Mario Land 2 reminded me of the times when I was 6 and watching my friends playing it, but he would never let me try it. I hope that this little shitface is having a rough time right now. Give me a moment, I'm getting a phone call.
What an ass. What an ass.
He's leaving us in the dark. Does anyone else have the comments fans
open? No, I mean, what an ass, that open. Kid.
Oh, what did he say? I forgot already.
You forgot already. Do you even listen to other people doing these podcasts?
Most of the time.
I think I would if I had a voice like Jim's.
Sometimes I'll be sitting with one of my friends and one of us will be playing a video game and I'll like be like, hey, do you want me to pass you the controller? He's like, no, I'm happy just to watch. I'm like,
that's not right.
That's not correct.
I like how nobody commented on lunchtime.
Though it was nice to see the first appearance of one of the best video game character ever created. I agree. Wario's definitely the best Nintendo character by far.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Aside from maybe Waluigi,
I thought you'd appreciate.
No, yeah, Wario and Waluigi is about equal, I guess. I just have a more fondness for Wario.
Did that go in?
He's Mr. Money.
Yes,
I just love it. Also, I don't know, but you guys made me buy a copy of your Doodles Are Bugged. I didn't know it was an actual thing until I found it on Steam at 75% off. This might be possibly the best investment of my entire life. Definitely my current guilty pleasure. I still do not know what your Doodles Are Bugged is, and I might
Doesn't
never.
Matter.
One day I want to go so in depth with the flaws and successes of Fallout 3 one day. And Everrock responds, I still enjoy New Vegas Miles more than 3. For some reason, I never enjoyed the endless copy-pasted metros of Fallout 3.
Oh,
I have some problems with Fallout 3. First of all, the story fucking sucks. It's late.
Yeah,
it's
so bad.
And it has the longest tutorial section that's boring. And it has very few quests. I think New Vegas has like 3 times the quests that Fallout 3 has.
Very few good quests, especially.
Also, the DLCs are lame. Speaking of crowdfunded games, what does GLA think about Star Citizen?
I have no opinion of any
I have
kind.
No strong feelings one way or the other.
I have very many strong feelings one particular way. Oh my
Please
god, I
out.
Can't fucking wait for it. It looks so good. Looks so good!
I don't know what it is.
You had to yell because you wouldn't sound enthusiastic otherwise.
Yeah, that's seriously it.
The only crowdfunded thing I care about right now is the Iron Sheik's documentary. Don't be the dog shit. Support the Iron Sheik's documentary. He's the legend.
Star Citizen is like Eve plus Privateer and Wing Commander. So it's a space sim. MMO space sim. But it has real-time combat and shit.
I remember playing Super Mario Land 2 on my Game Boy Color when I was a kid. I should play it again since I never beat the game. However, you should watch the test video of it. So game-breaking. I actually watched it before even reading this comment. I watched that test. What he does, he does something really fucking crazy where he glitches the game and falls through the floor. And what happens, I don't know why, but he makes parts of the code that are not visualized in any way. He makes them visualized. And so code just appears as these random blocks. And he goes through this like sea of like random code blocks and he breaks one of them. And that sets a flag, which means you beat the game and it plays the credits. And that's how he beats it in like less than 10 minutes. It's really trippy.
Original Pokemon is so broken that you can put custom, you can like program music into it, and someone programmed the My Little Pony theme to play when you log onto a certain computer.
Of any music you could program.
Yeah,
first like, had to be that.
Like, you can do pretty much anything in Gen 1 and Gen 2 Pokemon that you want. Like, look at a speedrun of it. It's great.
Yeah,
especially original Red and Green, because they're the most broken.
Jamie Kerr said, what question do you guys want answered the most? And I didn't really get the question, so I just said, what is the Wu-Tang secret? But what question do we want answered? About, like, anything, or?
I don't even get it. I don't even get the question about the question.
I'm kind of confused by this. Maybe he can clarify.
Yeah, I think the question should be, what did you mean by that?
That's the question I want answered the most. What did you mean?
The question I want answered the most is, what is the Wu-Tang secret? I never found out.
And you never will.
No,
couldn't you Google it?
Because Old Dirty Bastard's dead, he took it to his grave. Anyway, that's enough for the comments.
Now what?
I think Catsman might be dead, so nah, rest in peace.
Rip. Oh yeah, I found a great fanfiction about Deadly Premonition that I might read at some point.
Good.
Who does it feature?
What does it involve?
York and Sec.
Oh, huh. No.
What do you mean you're not coming with us? Sheriff Emily Wyatt looked disgruntled, glancing at George Woodman to see if he shared her anger. As usual, he did. York sighed internally, but kept his face stoic. I'm sorry. I need to look into something else first, but I'll meet you there. Neither of his co-workers looked happy, but York had found in his time at Greenvale that he could rarely please them. Everything he said seemed to come off as rude and abrasive, though that wasn't necessarily his intention. His main objective here wasn't to make friends anyway. Solving the murder of Anna Graham was much more important. Before they could argue further, York gave them a slight wave and turned his back. As he walked to his personal police cruiser, he heard them getting into their own car and driving off. A light drizzle had started, and Sheriff Woodman squealed the tires on his way out of the parking lot. He probably did that on purpose, Sack. York opened the door and settled into his car, shutting out the rain. It seemed to rain all the time in Greenvale, and for hours at a time. He was getting sick of it personally, and planned to put on his rain poncho on before he got back out. How can you think a murderer comes out when it rains? It rains multiple times a day. The whole town would be dead, don't you think, Zack? He adjusted the rearview mirror, running a hand through his hair to shake the rain droplets away. No matter, let's go to Anna's residence and speak with her mother before we follow Sheriff Wyatt to the lumber mill. She may have some information about Anna that can help us out. York glanced at his watch. 19. He was exhausted from a full day of work and the end didn't seem to be in sight. The roads themselves even posed a problem. The long winding streets made him prone to highway hypnosis, and he hoped the sheriffs wouldn't mind a few dings in the car from where he went on his little impromptu off-roading. Turning the engine on, he let the heater dry him off, contemplating his next move. I can spare a few minutes of rest, he reasoned with himself, slouching in the driver's seat and closing his eyes. He unbuttoned the top button of his dress shirt, loosening his tie to get more comfortable. Then the hand slipped further, massaging through the crotch of his suit. York opened his eyes, mildly surprised. Do you really think we have time for this, Sack? I mean, if you think it's a good idea, I guess we can, York stopped his reasoning halfway through, hearing the response without any words. You need to learn to switch off. York moved his other hand from its signature position by his ear, untucking his shirt to slide his fingers across his abdomen. He pushed his hips into the other hand, palming his groin through his pants. Arousal warmed him better than the heater could, reaching the tips of his fingers and toes. He closed his eyes. Zack, you know I hate it when you tease. The hand on his chest tweaked a nipple fondly before undoing his pants and pulling his erection free from his underwear. York exhaled, moaning under his breath, when his hand wrapped around his dick and pulled gently. He used his other hand to relieve the pressure of the elastic, cupping his balls and rolling them between his fingers. The rain outside had grown stronger, and the cacophony of water hitting the car filled his ears. "Mmm, sack," York murmured, stroking his cock and spreading the pre-cum gathered at the top. He spat in his hand to help it along. "Remember that time when we did this while I was driving? It was the ultimate of multitasking, in my opinion. Very fun." Spreading his legs, he pushed his pants off his hips to give himself more freedom of movement. He put his left hand back by his ear to rest against his cheek, hardly even noticing as he did so. Old habits die hard. He stroked himself faster, alternating rhythms so that he was always slightly caught off guard. "You're so good at keeping me on my toes, Zack. Mmm." He arched off the seat, tipping his head back. To get himself there, he fantasized. In the end, it was the image of Thomas's face between his legs, mouth open and ready, that got him off. York spasmed, clenching his teeth as he came, and only afterwards moaning as he caught his breath. He opened his eyes to see the mess he'd made, one gob even making it up to the roof of the car. "I think it's impressive, don't you, Zack?" he chuckled, cleaning everything up with a tissue and tucking himself back away. York took note of his surroundings. The windows had fogged up, and he'd wasted 20 minutes. He double-took when he glanced at the dashboard. 11% gas. I just fill up this damn car. The gas mileage here is criminal, just like the gas prices. I guess we have one more stop before we make it to the lumber mill, Zack." He headed for the gas station, hopping the curb as he drove recklessly into traffic.
Isn't, like, Zack York's...
Yes, he's you. You are Zack.
Like, split personality or something?
Yeah,
it's his imaginary friend. Guys, now that you brought up Deadly Premonition, I have to say that I was inspired by Happy Man, so I started watching Twin Peaks.
Yeah?
But so it's like Twin Peaks and Deadly Premonition are like a copy of each other.
Yeah,
it's exactly.
Well,
the same.
It used to be even more similar. Like, but they actually had to tone it down because they thought they would get sued.
It's just a carbon copy. There's pretty much nothing different at the game and the show.
Twin Peaks is a decent show. I don't understand. Except I don't understand people who are like super fans of it.
Twin Peaks is better.
I'm enjoying it. It's very surreal.
The problem is that David Lynch didn't write all the episodes. He only wrote, like, the first three and then the last episode. A lot of it is just filler.
The best scene from Twin Peaks, and I talked about this on a stream, is in the second episode where the first thing he tries to try and figure out the murder is to go out in the woods and he puts a bottle up and they list all the suspects. And after each suspect is listed, he throws a stone at the bottle. And they miss most of the time, so he's like, "Oh, that wasn't him." But they finally like read a name and he hits it and he's like, "That's our guy, that's the murderer." Ugh. And they go to arrest him. It's like
scientific method.
Yeah.
In full course.
Well, it's funny, like, but it's also like it gets even better because it's the first thing he tries.
Yeah.
It's the very first like method of investigation. I just gotta get in my faucet and fuck it up again. I wanna keep the streak going. This has been Gentlemen Discussing Video, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. God damn it, I already lost it.
But it was aubergines in the intro.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Video. This is the end of episode 25? 26? I think it's 26. Yeah, 26. Until the next episode airs, you can go to Get It Your Party for live streaming video and lunchtime.org.uk for honest gaming journalism.
Was that intentional?
No, that was backwards. God damn it. God damn it! That was
so aww.
What's it was to?
We are doing very well.
Oh, I'm not starting over now.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No one listens.
You broke your stream.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Vid. Oh, okay, Casman does it later. I don't have any confidence anymore, so.
Aww.
I'll do it.
Shall I give you some?
Yeah, Catman. Jambalaya, you do it.
Okay, what's the script? Can you give it to me?
This has been Gentlemen...
Make it up.
Yeah, make it up. That's better, matter. Actually.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Podcast, the only podcast made of 99% sausages. If you want undiscriminating journalism, go to gatheryourparty.com. This has been Animids, other people. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
Good job. Good job.
That was a good one,
this has been Gentlemen Discussing Video, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages. If you would like honest gaming journalism, please visit gatheryourparty.com. If you would like round-the-clock live stream, please visit lunchtime.org.uk.
Damn it.
Fuck. It's hard when you don't
this
have a script.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Video.
Thanks for not giving me the script happy, man.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing Video, the only podcast made from 99% pure sausages.
He does have that little wobble in his voice when he says
exactly. You have to have the wobble. You have to have the wobble.
99% pure sausages.
The outro should just be us trying to do the intro.
Yeah, but no one can do it because we have no talent.
Catman is the only man with power. He's the only one who has
been, when he comes, because he's obviously not listening at the moment. What's he going to think when he comes back to this and finds it in the edit?
Yeah,
I think this is our chance to say naughty things about Catman.
Well, no, because he's recording it, you stupid killer.
But he can reply it to immediately.
I think Catman is a grippy rod.
Just going to have... This half an hour of just
humanity
completely derailing.
Yeah,
well, the whole episode has been quite an adventure.
I bet he knew this would happen.
Stop it!
This must be some sort of experiment.
Twitch chat does not appear to be loading for me.
This has been Gentlemen Discussing.
This has been the worst episode of Gentlemen Discussing Video.
Almost the worst
go
episode.
To gentlemen, no. This has been.
Let me write something down real quick.
Discussing Video.
Fuck you for being here. Fuck you for listening to this podcast. If you need me, I'll be in my room listening to the music that really speaks to me.